It's Friday!
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. I apologize for yesterday's unintended, unforeseen absence. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, and that's where you go, of course, if you'd like to participate in the madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat. Already gathered there in the sandbox are VT Blom and Little Thunder and Anatole, and if you jump in, pick yourself out a screen name and password, they'll all tell you hi and welcome you to the group. And you will, of course, be moderated by longtime inveterate and indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who's keeping a close eye on the hillsides of Northern California. Because yesterday, while I was being stuck in traffic, traffic was watching a chunk of Northern California burn down again some more. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is the seventh day of September 2018. And we have thanks to send out this evening. Thanks very kindly to our subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Dr. Allen in Texas. And thank you very kindly to Reed in California. Thanks as well to Gordon. Thank you, Gordon. And thank you to Leola. Thank you very, very kindly. Since I missed yesterday, we have yesterday's thanks to send out as well. Thank you very kindly to Laurel there in far Minnesota. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thanks very much to our buddy Sal. Thank you, Sal. And thank you very kindly to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you to Brock in PA. Thanks very much to Alex in New York. And thanks very much to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. And thanks to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you all very, very kindly. Our subscribers knock out about a quarter of what we try to raise every month, and the thanks is indeed profound. Hey, we've got a brand new Patreon subscriber in Andy the Angry Jew out in Illinois. Thank you, Andy. Thank you very, very kindly for doing that. That's hugely helpful. One of these days, we'll get up to those 400 subscribers, the equivalent of those $410 a month subscribers, and, well, gosh, then I'll just be saying thank you every evening, and that'll be the end of it. But we're not there yet, and so consequently, I'll let you know that the fundraising goal for the evening is at $385. Thanks also going out to our buddy Tom out in the Bay Area. Tom with a note saying he heard the grumblings of the deacons from prayer meeting Wednesday and was getting something right out to try to try to placate them. Yeah, I'm never gonna order them gas station pizza and gas station the gas station fried chicken again. Oh, that was just a disaster. But anyway, we need to raise $385 to finish the week, and with some help on that, we've got a matching challenge this evening, courtesy of the aforementioned Chris in Germany. Chris has a challenge on the table. Chris will match the first $100 that come in. And that'll leave us with only $185 to raise. So, basically, what could be $385 is actually $285. And with any luck at all, that'll happen. So, there's a $100 challenge on the table. And hopefully this, unlike the Shirley's Memorial Challenge in memory of our buddy Bruce that began the week, hopefully this challenge will be met. So 10 at 10, 1 at 100, 2 at 50, 4 at 25, 5 at 20, 20 at 5, 3 at $33.33. Hopefully that will be met and will be good for the first week of September, because this marks that today is the official final day of the first week of September, the 7th of September, and we'll see how week two goes next week. Yeah, it was a nasty little traffic jam. We don't have a lot of them around here. It's certainly not like Boston or Atlanta or Los Angeles. But it was nasty. Apparently, somebody got eager and pulled out in front of a semi, and the semi sheared the front end of a Ford pickup truck right off, and traffic was backed up all the way through Oak Hill, and it was terrible. And so I did a lot of sitting yesterday afternoon. So that's where I was. The earlier part of the day, of course, I had spent in watching the Kavanaugh hearings. And just, you know, wow. I guess this guy, I don't like foregone conclusions. I'd like to think that things like personal integrity matter to members of the United States Senate. But if they do, they only matter significantly less than politics do. And so we have a judicial nominee now for the Supreme Court who perjured himself no less than four times in the course of 2 days of testimony. He deliberately, knowingly spoke falsely on matters both material and relevant while under oath. That's pretty much perjury. And he's probably going to wind up on the Supreme Court. There should probably also be an FBI investigation launched into the fact that he received stolen property and knew or should have known, because that's the standard, that he was in receipt of stolen property. Going forward, if he makes it to the court, you know, we've got various and sundry nicknames for the white wing members of the court, you know, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, Clarence Coke Can, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas, Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, and now we're going to have Brett the Fence Kavanaugh. Fence is someone who receives stolen property, of course. Brett the Fence Kavanaugh. Right. And then there's another matter. I'm sort of picking up the ball where our buddy Michael in Madison left off. But a simple question. What would the right wing be doing? This is one of those hypotheticals like Brett Kavanaugh said he couldn't answer. What would the white wing be doing if, say, there were four Muslims, active practicing Muslims, on the Supreme Court, and one Muslim light? And the president nominated yet another Muslim, active, practicing Muslim, to be on the court. Well, the answer is the white wing would go into sweat condition alpha and would be shrieking from the rafters that we would all be soon falling under the sway of Sharia law. I only ask that question because we have four active practicing Roman Catholics on the Supreme Court. One Catholic light. Ann's boy Neil was raised Roman Catholic, but he's gone heretic and decided to go to an Episcopal church. And now we're going to have another hardcore Roman Catholic going on to the bench. I'm not real comfortable making this observation. Because I'd like to think that people compartmentalize a little bit, at least, their religious leanings. But white wingers don't, okay? I remember when they were shrieking and hooting and screaming about how John Kerry should not be, because he's a Roman Catholic too, how he should not be allowed to participate in the Eucharist because he supports a woman's right to choose. Now, Brett Kavanaugh, he testified, and I think this was another one of his lies, but the fact of the matter is this would be difficult to prove, well, impossible. But he said that a judge must judge without taking his religious affiliation into account. I would like to believe that, but as Pat Leahy told him, I was born at night, not last night. That was as close, by the way, as I thought anybody really got to telling Brett Kavanaugh that he was that he had been caught in a web of lies. Because if anybody had actually used the L word, Chuck Grassley probably would have thrown up his cud and started speaking in tongues or something. But here's the thing. Remember, if you were around, I wasn't. The election of 1960, when Republicans all over the country were saying, well, if we get John Kennedy for president, he'll take all his orders from the Pope at Rome. Huh. Well, that turned out not to be the case. And Protestantism seems to be quite alive and well right now. I'd love to have a secular court, because we are a secular nation where religion is not is supposedly neither forced upon us nor endorsed by government. That's me being wishful. Well, the fact of the matter is, when you analyze Brett Kavanaugh's record, for all of his talking about putting his religious beliefs aside, he has sided with the church's teaching every opportunity he's had to do so. Going so far in describing some of his actions. Well, yesterday, Brett Kavanaugh described birth control as a form of abortion. Now, given that I'm talking to the Horn Family Community Congregation, I probably don't have to say this, but I will anyway, in case we've got any weird little white wing lurkers or whatever. But pregnancy control medications, it's not birth control to begin with. It's a matter of pregnancy prevention. You don't, a woman doesn't get pregnant at all. It's not like she gets pregnant and then the pill works and she isn't pregnant anymore. It's not the science behind contraception. Contraception itself means against conception and is a more accurate term. Just as a condom keeps the sperm from ever reaching the egg, and thereby preventing egg fertilization, contraception, such as the birth control pills of various varieties, well, they keep pregnancy from happening at all. But not in the mind of Brett Kavanaugh. In the mind of Brett Kavanaugh, every time a woman takes a birth control pill, she's killing babies. Which, by the way, his religion says that she is spiritually mandated to have. Okay. Well, that's true. Steve points out he doesn't follow church teaching on the death penalty, the welfare state, or the treatment of immigrants. He also doesn't follow the teaching of Jesus on any of that either. And church teaching and the teaching of Jesus are not always the same thing. See, for instance, the just war doctrine. But he does follow church teaching where it concerns women, their rights to control the workings of their own bodies, and anything necessary to try to inhibit contraception. And frankly, it was kind of on the one hand, when he was describing contraception as abortion. But at the same time, it was a matter of, well, yeah, okay, of course he does. Oh, I do love it when you guys get it. Darlene in Connecticut says, okay, I'm in stitches here. Was that purposeful? Talking about Chuck Grassley coughing up his cud and speaking in tongues? Far be it from me to decide, but I think that deserves a cowbell, Bob, LOL. I will take the cowbell whenever and wherever awarded. Yes, it was intentional. Grassley, cud, yes. Moo, y'all. Moo. Hung like Jesus with a question. Did you hear about Thomas's wife, Jenny? I know she's as corrupt as the day is long, but no, what? Do please share. you could not be any less scientific than Brett Kavanaugh was in describing contraception as being a form of abortion. Ron in Raleigh says, I remember it well. That birth control as abortifacient is what gives me pause. This punk has Griswold in his sights. With his convoluted reasoning, old Brett can make up any kind of bullshit legal reasoning for revisiting Griswold, and from there, it's just a stone's throw to Roe. Handmaid's Tale? Anyone? Exactly. And of course, I've said that for years, that the right wing's goal is not overturning Roe, it is overturning Griswold, which finds... Stand by. terribly sorry about that. Let me see. As I was just explaining to Steve from Georgistan, I had somebody at the door. These things happen. So my apologies. Good Todd says, you have a nasty mouth and your new Supreme Court justice is a greasy liar. Well, he ain't my new Supreme Court justice, Todd. But I get the point. Yeah. Lee in New York, going back to the issue of contraception. is this a favorite song of Brett Kavanaugh? Monty Python's Every Sperm is Sacred. Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah, there's a Marty said, Cole not keeping the lights on? No, this time it wasn't that. This time it was a neighbor. And we kind of keep an eye out for each other since the neighborhood is being cased and stalked by meth head junkies. I mentioned that not long back. By the way, it is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. We'll get the Friday on the Front Porch gang going here in about a half an hour. We get together every Friday in a great big hollered-out tree and around an extraordinary, ordinary round table and cuss and discuss the events of the week, carry on, have some fun. You're welcome. You're always welcome to participate. And you can do so by sending a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk on Skype, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail to get to the old hollowed-out tree. And if Skype just will not work for you, well, we have, for those folks, we have the stress line, which works like gangbusters. And you reach that line, at 304-640-2829. 304-640-2829. And that'll get you, that we got one line for people who can't make Skype work. Use it judiciously. Lee in New York, subject line, it's okay if you're a Republican. Stop trying to compare Republican complaints of Democratic actions to their quiet acceptance of Republican actions. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it works. Don't you remember the Honeymooners when they were deciding where the TV's placed? Heads I win, tails you lose. These Republicans only want to win. Gerrymandering, voter suppression, hidden documents, delaying, denying. If the Republicans win, who are they to care how? And that's a fact. They don't. They are, to use the language of the New York Times op-ed this week, amoral. For some other Republican to claim, to complain about the amorality of Donald Trump is, that's a weasel complaining that there's a fox in the hen house. Yeah. Meanwhile, John Dean testified today in the Kavanaugh hearings. Today, you know, Kavanaugh was done yesterday, and today it was just, the people trying to stick their heads up, you know, getting a little shy, polishing jobs done for the most part. There were some anti-Kavanaugh witnesses. John Dean appeared to be one. He offered this.
This short, we got to go into John Dean, but your book is Promised Land, a love story to Israel. Go out and get it. Here's John Dean.
Confirmations. It had never been so difficult to get access to background documents relating to a nominee as in the current proceedings. Unsuccessfully, the minority sought to postpone these hearings until all the requested documents were provided. The chair, however, declined to consider the motion that would make review possible. This committee is deeply involved in the final phase of vetting Supreme Court nominees. Based on personal experiences with the confirmation, for example, of William Rehnquist, and studying the confirmation of Clarence Thomas, it's clear there was an across-the-board failure to fully vet the nominees, and it has haunted their careers on the court, it's hurt the court, and the American people. Because of the withholding of documents, Judge Kavanaugh may be traveling the same path as Rehnquist and Thomas. When writing a book that I did several years ago, The Rehnquist Choice, I explained how Rehnquist was selected by Nixon as one of the two for two openings that occurred in 1971. I also reported my sad discovering that Rehnquist had dissembled during his confirmation proceedings. He did, however, notwithstanding false statements, become an associate justice. When Ronald Reagan nominated him to be Chief Justice in 1986, again, he was not vetted. And there, in those hearings, he was confronted not only with his earlier false statements, but new material that resulted in new false statements. All the court historians that I have examined and court scholars find clear and convincing evidence that Mr. Rehnquist lied at his two confirmation proceedings. This hurt him, and it hurt the court. Because Justice Thomas was not fully vetted, his career on the court has been under a cloud as well. Thomas's truthfulness vis-a-vis Professor Anita Hill's claims of sexual harassment have never been fully resolved, nor has the controversy ever ended. A definitive study of this controversy was undertaken in 1994 by journalists Jane Mayer and Jill Abramson, Strange Justice, The Selling of Clarence Thomas. They found a preponderance of evidence supported Anita Hill's claims. This controversy has received renewed attention with the Me Too movement, which is growing stronger, and it's not going to disappear. In fact, Justice Thomas's truthfulness is an issue in this year's midterm election. A Democratic candidate in Massachusetts has made an impeachment of Thomas for his false claims during his confirmation one of the planks of her campaign. In closing, Judge Kavanaugh's nomination has raised issues. The truthfulness is his confirmation to become a judge on the D.C. Circuit. His answers to this committee have not resolved the issue. Frankly, I'm surprised that Judge Kavanaugh is not demanding that every document that he's ever handled be reviewed by this committee, unless, of course, there's something to hide. Thank you.
Ta-da! Unless, of course, there's something to hide. And as Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Dick Durbin and Pat Leahy and the entire Democratic side of the Senate Judiciary Committee pointed out, he has lots of things to hide. In fact, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have skeletons in his closet. He's just the closet. He's got like a den full of skeletons, a man cave of skeletons. Because he's a weird-ass religious ideologue who has kissed ass to the top and has taken with him all along the way the bizarreness of the right-wing teachings to which he bows his head in fealty. Lee in New York, Rehnquist, Thomas, and Kavanaugh, all three under a cloud. All three deciding cases, once that pesky process can be completed, they get the job for life. And maybe this is something we can sort out once we get to the front porch. I'm assuming that Billable Rick is back from his mama's birthday party. And maybe we can sort out this issue of why in the world, when someone is implicated in receiving stolen property, is the FBI not notified? And why is an investigation not begun? And why is a man going to be elevated to the Supreme Court of the United States, most likely, when there are significant allegations of criminal conduct against him? I mean, Jesus Christ. Among other things, back in 2006, Brett Kavanaugh claimed that he hadn't heard anything about the warrantless wiretap program, the spying program of the Bush administration. And it came out, of course, that there was an email. Leahy uncovered it. From Kavanaugh to John Torture Boy U. Well, he knew. He knew. And by the way, that all that drama with Kamala Harris and Kavanaugh search demanding to be told the name of every single person who worked at the Kasowitz law firm. He knew exactly who he was talking about because he'd been buddies with that law partner from back in the days when he was with the Bush administration. He knew all along who the conversations were with. And that's part of why the fireworks took place during the early part of yesterday's hearings. But yesterday is gone. Today is here. And as much as it grieves me to say it, I saw one story earlier today saying that it looks like, and it's no surprise, it looks like my senator, Joe Manchin, allegedly a Democrat, but not much of one, and Heidi Heitkamp, allegedly a Democrat, but not much of one. Well, they're sort of giving little low hand gesture signs, you know, that they'll probably vote for the guy who received stolen property and committed perjury all over the place in his Senate confirmation hearing. In which case, it doesn't matter if Lisa Murkowski votes no. And it doesn't matter if Susan Collins votes no. If Chuck Schumer cannot keep his caucus together and to speak with one voice, he gets in. The perjurer gets in. The fence gets in. Which leads me to the question, you know, if it's going to be okay to just sit there and perjure yourself, why do we bother putting them under oath? Why do we even fool with the sham of pretending that this is a solemn proceeding? I mean, I guess he was telling the truth when he talked about how much he loved his precious children. But watching Daddy commit perjury, well, not setting much of an example, are you there, Paul? Hung Like Jesus, noting, the bar is so low now that even I can sit on the effing Supreme Court. No, you couldn't. Because, well, you're not... I don't think you're Roman Catholic. And I don't think... I don't think you're a Republican. Because remember, the it's okay to lie under oath thing only applies to Republicans. Good God Almighty. It was like Cory Booker asked him, threw him softballs for Christ's sakes, asking him, you'd never discriminate against a person just because they were black, would you? Well, Senator, I mean, and he said, you know, this is one of those moments when less is more. And he finally said, well, okay, no, I wouldn't discriminate against somebody just because they're black. And then he asked him, would you discriminate against somebody just because they're gay? And there was another 5 minutes of hemming and hawing. And whereas with discriminating against somebody just because they're black, he finally said, no, I wouldn't do that. Brett Kavanaugh could not say that he would not discriminate against someone simply because they were gay. There's a very short period of time in which to mobilize on this issue. But the fact of the matter is, one of the single most effective advocacy groups in this country has been the gay community. And I sure hope the gay community was paying attention to that little exchange. Because with a Republican, there's no such thing as settled law. For instance, at one point in time, a memo was being circulated for signature by various and sundry women who hate their own genders. And it contained language that said that Roe versus Wade is settled precedent. Brett Kavanaugh chimed in and said, I think I would take out the word settled, or something to this effect, because there are three justices on the court who would vote to overturn Roe right now. Well, guess what? There's four now. Because that was before, and Brett Kavanaugh will be the fifth. And that's with regard to Roe. Well, guess what else is in their crosshairs? Obergefell. Mm-hmm. The right to marry, the freedom of association involved with the right to marry. Because make no mistake, the White Wing wants to drag this country kicking and screaming back to the days of discrimination based on sex, based on gender, based on ethnicity. Kavanaugh was shown to have engaged in the use of dog whistle language. Language that's frequently used inside the various hate chambers that make up the larger Republican Party. And he used that language with regard to race and gender. And reproductive choice. And then there was the noted liberal law professor from Yale University who testified today, who said, he's as good as you're going to get. If you don't get Brett, who do you get? And so he'd best be confirmed. And my immediate thought upon hearing that was the unanswered question that has hung over these proceedings like a sword of Damocles, and which no one's really tried to answer. It's kind of a case of first impression. What right does a president who is implicated in no less than 4 federal felonies have to appoint anyone to anything? It seems abundantly clear that Kavanaugh would do everything. He could not even be brought to criticize the sleazy things that Donald Trump has said about the people who will be his colleagues on the court. You know all that bullshit he blathered about how it's going to be a team of 9? Yeah, just like baseball, and Brett loves baseball. Well, one of those members of the team of 9 is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Donald Trump smeared her repeatedly. "Her mind is gone," said the guy whose mind is gone. Even Neil Ansboy Neil Gorsuch said that that was sleazy conduct. But Brett Kavanaugh did not dare bite the hand that feeds him, that has fulfilled his life's ambition, a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States. He's done some dirty things, Brett Kavanaugh has. But apparently you can do any number of dirty things and still be put on the Supreme Court as long as you promise that you'll speak up for the precious little fetuses in accordance with your bishop's wishes. Randy says, can you elaborate on the 4 felonies, the 4 federal felonies? Happily. The 2 felonies, Michael Cohen pled guilty to 2 federal felonies in regard to the payoffs to the women with whom Donald Trump had extramarital affairs. And he said Donald Trump knew and Donald Trump approved. Well, that means Donald Trump is on the hook for those 2 felonies as well. And in addition, 2 more. Account of conspiracy on each crime, because the 2 don't merge, they have separate elements. Those 2 men agreed to perform an illegal act. One of those 2 men took a substantial step in the furtherance of the agreement. That brings the conspiracy all the way home. So 4 federal felonies out of the payoffs to the women. But we do not have, and nobody asked the question, and I wish it had been asked. Why should a president implicated in felonies, whether it be 1 or 101, why should a president who has been implicated in felonies be permitted to appoint justices who will then sit in judgment, possibly, of the very conduct alleged. And make no mistake, Brett Kavanaugh already knows that he is not, he is forbidden from recusing himself from any of this crap. That's why he got real hazy and fuzzy about that issue, too. So, it's been a mess of a week. And this is without, and we haven't even gotten to the other stuff. Maybe we'll get to it during the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Among other things, the stuff that went down today, among the most gripping testimony was that which was offered by Aaliyah Eastman. Aaliyah Eastman is a survivor of the slaughter at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. The Republicans had to listen to it, but you can't make them give a damn.
Chairman Grassley, Ranking Member Feinstein, and other members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to share my experience and perspectives on gun violence in America. It needs to be a critical part of your consideration for any judge, particularly for the highest court in the land. My view is significantly impacted by my experience as a survivor of gun violence at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, just 6 months ago, and also losing my uncle, Patrick Edwards, 15 years ago in Brooklyn, New York. My name is Aaliyah Eastman, a senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. I work across the country to help amplify the voices of young people, and particularly young people in communities of color whose day-to-day experience violence is always ignored, mischaracterized, marginalized, and minimized by the press, the public, and the corporate gun lobby. 102, February 14th, fourth period, Holocaust history, my last period of the day. The classroom door was locked today because of the new procedures. In the beginning of the period, we began presenting our hate projects that we've been working on. Nicholas Dworet was in my group. Little did I know, 79 minutes from then, he'd be saving my life. 221. We heard a round of extremely loud pops. We had no idea what it was or where it was coming from. The class was in complete silence, and we all stared at each other in immediate fear. Within seconds, we heard it again. We all immediately ran. The class split in half. Half of my class ran to the safe spot, which was out of the view of the window that was in the classroom door. The other half was diagonally across from the window, in complete view. I was not in the safe spot. As I sat down, I remember telling myself, if I were to get shot anywhere, I wouldn't make it. I needed to be behind something. The only thing in front of me was Nicholas Dworet. Helena Ramsey began passing books down so we can shield ourselves from bullets, but yet everyone thought it was a drill. 2:22. I clenched the book from Helena and then looked down at my phone to call my mother. As I raised my finger to hit the green call button, the loud pops were now in my class. I thought to myself, what kind of senior prank is this? As I began to see red on the floor, I assumed it was a paintball gun. I looked up and saw Helena Ramsey slumped over with her back against the wall. I began smelling and inhaling the smoke and gunpowder. Then Nicholas Dworet rapidly fell over in front of me. I followed every movement of his body. When he fell over, I fell over with him. I then placed myself underneath his lifeless body, placing his arm across my body and my head underneath his back. Bullets continued flying. I kept my eyes on the ground so I knew when to hold my breath and close my eyes when the shooter got near. I began talking to God. I told God that I knew I was going to die. I asked him, please make it fast. I didn't want to feel anything. I asked for the bullet to go through my head so I wouldn't endure any pain. I laid there for about 30 seconds, still protected by his lifeless body, waiting for the shooter to move on to the next class. After the shooting stopped in my class, his body became very heavy. I couldn't breathe anymore. I rolled him off of me and placed his head on his arm so he wouldn't be touching the cold ground. I sat up and looked over. Helena was still in the same exact position I last saw her. I froze, still in absolute view of the window of the shooter the shooter shot into. Two of my classmates then pulled me behind a filing cabinet. We were all crammed, some on the phone with 911, some on the phone with their parents. I immediately called my mom. I told her my last goodbyes. I told her how much I loved her. I apologized for all the things I might have done in my lifetime to upset her, and then the phone hung up. I then called my father. I told him how much I loved him. I told him to tell my brothers I loved them, and I said my last goodbyes. I couldn't hear anything they were saying to me, but I made sure they could hear me, not knowing whether it was one shooter or multiple, and not knowing whether they were coming back or not was an unimaginable amount of fear, sitting behind the filing cabinet waiting to die. I began hyperventilating. My classmates began breathing with me and trying to keep me calm and quiet. It didn't work. They then covered my face. I felt like I was suffocating, but it was to keep me quiet. 2:30, Broward County Police Department was heard from outside the shattered glass. I thought it was the shooter playing a trick. Then a SWAT team member came to check the pulse of Helena and Nicholas. He then looked at me with compassion and said, "I know." We all ran out, passing bodies in the hallway on the way out. When I got outside, I was completely disoriented. The police then said, "He's still on the loose, guys, and we need you to work with us." I was petrified. 4:00. I finally found my friend and her mother. They noticed the unimaginable. They called the police over, and they began picking body matter from my hair. I completely broke down. The police took me back on campus to gather photos of me and collect my bloody dress. They placed me in a chemical for chemical and biological exposure, then recorded my statement. 9:30, at the Marriott Hotel, I was finally allowed to physically touch my mother. It was absolutely horrific, so real and mind-numbing. I will never forget what I saw, what I did, and what I experienced that day.
I've been trying not to interrupt, but I have to tell you, just because this is audio that goes with video. The camera cut briefly away from Ms. Eastman and gave us a picture of Chuck Grassley and Sheldon Whitehouse. Sheldon Whitehouse has a stern countenance on his face, as if he is boiling with some sort of righteous fury that a child such as this should have had to have gone through such a thing, and that other children had to have died because Congress refuses to act. Sitting to the left on the screen, but to the right, to Sheldon Whitehouse's right, is Chuck Grassley, who's got his chin rested on his fist and just looks like he is so goddamn bored with it all. And will this little girl just shut up? He's disgusting, Grassley is. Let's finish this out.
I will never forget Nicholas Dorrett, who even in death helped protect and save my life. Days later, we received news that my mother would be having a miscarriage because of what the shock of the shooting did to her body. The shooting didn't only impact me on February 14th, it impacts me every day of my life. I've also lost a family member to gun violence. I lost my uncle Patrick Edwards in the streets of Brooklyn, New York. He was shot in the back. The bullet then pierced his heart. He was only 18 with his whole life ahead of him. And unfortunately, that is the same story of thousands of black and brown families across the country. Gun violence disproportionately impacts black and brown youth, whether that being police brutality, homicides, or domestic violence. As for people of color, law enforcement is the shooter in some cases. History of bias, brutality, and racism in so many communities. Like many of my brothers and sisters of color, I am not comforted by deputies with handguns, let alone assault rifles. I am very concerned since learning Brett Kavanaugh's views on guns and how he would strike down any assault weapons ban. Too many dangerous and prohibited people continue to be able to readily access and use dangerous weapons to terrorize Americans at home, work, church, school, and on our streets and anywhere we go on our day-to-day life. As you consider what to do and who to appoint to make us safer from gun violence, remember my story. Remember my classmates who died. Remember the victims of color who that face mass shootings every day. Remember all victims of gun violence from Parkland, Brooklyn, Miami, Milwaukee, Oakland, and all over America. As you make your final decision, think about it as if you had to justify and defend your choice to those who we lost to gun violence. If Kavanaugh doesn't have the decency to shake hands with the father of a victim, he definitely won't have the decency to make life-changing decisions that affect real people. The youth is urging our society to recognize the depth and seriousness of the gun epidemic in America. We are all here with an urgent message for you. If the youth across the country can fight to eradicate gun violence, why can't judges, lawmakers, and Donald Trump understand that young people are dying from this senseless gun violence? Thank you.
Pretty profound, huh? Well, Ted Cruz couldn't care less. Lindsey Graham, who walked Brett Kavanaugh through a litany of questions, trying to get him to say that a woman's right to privacy appears nowhere in the Constitution, couldn't care less. John Kennedy of Louisiana couldn't care less. Jeff Flake, Arizona, couldn't care less. Chuck Grassley couldn't care less. John Cornyn couldn't care less. Mike Crapo of Idaho couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. And most of all, Brett Kavanaugh, for all his vaunted morality and all his hours doling out all those goddamn bowls of soup, couldn't care less. Because, see, there's no constitutional right not to be murdered in your during your Holocaust history class. Mike Lee of Utah, so deeply piously religious within his own community, couldn't care less about Aaliyah Eastman or the people that she saw die that day. The National Ruble, I mean Rifle, no, I definitely mean Ruble Association, it couldn't care less. And frankly, that's horrifying. That's chilling. And for far too many people in this country, that is tragically terminal. Let's run on over check in with Sparky. It's 8 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly to Charlene for jumping in on Chris's challenge. That's the first $25 of it. Hopefully we can raise the $75 and then the extra $185 to finish off this week so that we won't be so badly in the hole, starting with Moran Monday. We need 75. We need to go, $75 more to meet Chris's challenge, and then another $135. I think my ciphering's all messed up, but another $135, and that will $185. Yeah, $185, and that'll get us to, that'll finish the week. So we'll just all cross our fingers, and maybe some people won't cross their fingers, and instead we'll kick in this evening alongside Charlene and give her some company. Hey, Sparky.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, forced to stay inside again today. 98 degrees, and it's getting smoky again.
And I mean, is the is Is the fire still, I'm getting smoky again, the fire is still burning then?
A new fire.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the new one.
It's got Interstate 5 closed for 46 miles. So if you were here where I live, you couldn't get to Oregon. You'd have up Interstate 5, you'd have to go over to the coast.
Wow.
Because they're cleaning the freeway up. There's wood debris and burn-up trucks. And see, what happened is the freeway got closed down and the cars got stopped. And there's no way to get off the freeway when this happened. And there's forest on both sides and the fire burnt over. People.
Those damn Chinese keep, like, screwing us over, I tell you, you know?
The fire burned over the freeway, and the truckers had to abandon their trucks and jump. There's a concrete barrier in the middle of the freeway for miles. There's only certain places where there's an emergency vehicle turnaround. So, and they weren't even close to one of those. They couldn't get to them because they were kind of locked in, so they had to abandon the 5 trucks burn up, and a bunch of people left their cars and they jumped over the barricade to get to the southbound lanes to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, and I saw that the highway is just littered with abandoned cars now, right?
Yeah, so they're having to clean that up, and then there's burnt timber that fell onto the freeway on both sides. I mean, it's forest on both sides of the freeway through that area.
Yeah, a bone-dry forest, right?
Yeah. So... And then now it's burning towards another fire that's been going for a while in another area, but it's not going north. It's just threatening the little town of Dunsmuir and go further up towards Mount Shasta City.
Jesus.
But it's just a hell of a place to have a forest fire, I'll tell you that much.
Well, it's got it. I don't know of many good places to have them, but I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah, I did a lot of work up on that freeway in 1993. Went through and replaced. There's exits up there. That, I mean, there's at night it's darker than shit when you go through there, and the exits, all the exits have off ramp lights. So and we went through there and we rewired them and put new services in because they were changing the voltage of the freeway lights. And we went through there and put all new pipe underground for it. And
well, what was the cause of this latest one? Do they know?
Some guy camping in the forest, transient guy, moving, maybe a hitchhiker or something like that. I don't know, but he went out into the forest and started a little campfire, and then it got away from him.
Jesus. Before we jump into the meat of the conversation, I can happily report that Chris's challenge has been met, thanks to an anonymous contributor, as well as Libby. Who says, fire's burning within and without. And Scott, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Libby. Thank you, Charlene. And thank you, anonymous person. Chris's challenge is met, and we are $25 into the $185 more we need to raise, and that takes us down to $160 to go to finish the week. $160 to go to finish the week. So that's hopeful. Maybe we can do that in the next couple of hours. I really do want to address this every now and then. You know, there are burning legal issues, and I can't think of anybody better to talk about it with than Billable Rick. Are you there, Rick?
Might be busy.
Could be. Well, I mean,
I wanted to ask if you saw Obama's speech today.
Yeah, I did. And that was, you know, it was powerful. I mean, he wasn't ranting and raving or anything. But the fact that he did use Donald Trump, call him out by name, was big. And the fact that he was, you know, when Aaliyah Eastman was speaking, she was talking about if the youth of this country can rise up to stamp out gun violence, you know, why can't the judges and the senators and et cetera? Well, that sort of echoed the message that Barack Obama gave out in Illinois today, when he said that young people often don't vote, but they are the largest voting bloc they have ever been. And lo and behold, all they've got to do is show up and they can change. They can make the world they want to live in. And that, you know, that wasn't, and he also condemned the cynics who have tried to keep people from participating over the years. And I'm with him 100% on all of that. Julius Geezer. Julius Geezer responded by saying, I tried to watch it, but I fell asleep. Well, it was in broad daylight, Geezer. Hail, Geezer. And that's probably more of an indication of your poor mental state than anything else.
Well, he said he fell asleep or something.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah, I tried to watch it, but I fell asleep. Yeah, poor old septuagenarian sitting there, can't stay awake at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Sheesh.
Can't stand listening to somebody intelligent talk.
Oh, no. Well, especially when he's, you know, when he's on the losing end of it.
Well, they already know that. He can't listen to anybody give him any kind of information.
And by the way,
Fox News.
Are you following the speculation on who wrote the memo? Or who wrote the op-ed?
I'm still with Lawrence O'Donnell.
What did Lawrence O'Donnell say?
Oh, his name slips my mind. The guy that's the head of the NSA or National Security.
Oh, who, Dan Coats?
Yeah, Dan Coats.
There's been speculation along those lines, but more and more people are suggesting that it is Kellyanne Conway.
Makes sense, because her old man's dead set against, well, not dead set, but he's criticized Trump in the past. Got to keep peace in the family.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
There's Billable Rick.
Bob had a legal question for you, right?
Well, I do, oh, I do, and yeah. I can happily announce that we are down to, we're down to 125 thanks to Ralphs, and thanks to Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Ralphs. Thanks for jumping in there. We may just get this done, and wouldn't that be awesome? What I wanted to talk about, Rick, is, I mean, you know, you've got past history inside a U.S. Attorney's office, so.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably got something relevant to offer on this.
Okay, well, fire away. I'll see what I could add. But I was going to say that I think that it was Colonel Mustard that is the leaker, along with John Kelly, because he didn't sign a letter saying he wasn't the leaker.
Well, one of the things I think is fascinating is we got a little glimpse into who Donald Trump thinks it is.
Jeff Sessions, right?
Well, yeah, because... whoever it is, it's probably a loser who's doing a terrible job.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, that takes in the two people he said are doing a terrible job are Jeff Sessions and the director of the FBI.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Christopher Wray. Uh-huh. And he's been gooning on Christopher Wray this week, too.
Well, you know, oddly, though, those guys don't have nearly the kind of contact with the president that, let's say, other people would have, like John Kelly, for example, who's there at the White House on a daily basis. I mean, Christopher Wray works out of the FBI building, and Sessions works out of the Department of Justice building.
Well, that's true. And the other part of this is that whoever it is not getting the accolades that I think they expected to get. You know, well, good for you. Because the general tone of it all seems to be that this person is a chicken shit.
Well, that word is exactly what I was going to use, Bob. We're, great minds, right? Yeah, no, I mean, it's clear. The guy is just, he's an opportunist. It's like if you really, are concerned, then, put your name on the thing, It's like, I mean, and also he says that he agrees with the policies too, except he's like, it's really more a matter of style than it is substance.
Yeah, quit saying he.
Yeah, she. I was just going to say that. It could be a she.
I say it's Kelly. I say it's Kelly.
Well, you say it's Kelly. Others are saying it's Kellyanne. And that is as disparate a group, and I can't imagine getting more disparate. Disparate, however one pronounces it.
It works either way.
That group runs the gamut all the way from Charlie Pierce to Joe Scarborough.
They're saying it's Kellyanne.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean,
I read another piece that said that the writing bears, and I don't know how this is, but the writing bears the earmarks of a female author.
Hmm. What about the references to Lodestar? Because that was something that Pence has been saying in speeches for the last year or two.
Yeah, I think, well, some are saying that was meant to point it at Pence.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Hello, melanoma.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, Dr. Bill, I mean, I laughed so hard for so long over this. He said that when he saw that Melanoma had come out with her own statement in support of her husband, he said, I went in and looked at my wife, and he said, I asked Wilma what she would do if I asked her to write a letter of declaring her loyalty to me. Dr. Bill closed that little piece on Facebook by saying, she's still laughing.
That's great. That's great.
I'm just wondering how many wooden stakes she has sharpened in her penthouse apartment by now.
Oh, good. Well,
they're going to be calling her Melanie the Impaler when all this is done.
Well, she may pull a Lorraine Bobbitt at some point in time if he can't keep his pants zipped,
You've got a little company, Rick. Jovanka have declared that the writer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Apparently, they think it's John Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be, because he's had a very fractious relationship, and he's seen his power ebb because the order he imposed on the White House staff has sort of been eroding, and Trump is back to, I think, having an open door policy where people just come and go freely into his office, and it's not controlled by the chief of staff. And so, I know he has a real problem with that, because he knows he's dealing basically with a, fifth grader in terms of, a guy with a fifth or sixth grade maturity level, if that. Maybe more like a third grader. We shouldn't put fifth and sixth graders down. But, you almost half expect, Trump to institute a polygraph requirement now for every cabinet-level position.
The funniest of all the affirmations of loyalty, though, has to have come from Rick Perry.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, he even, it wasn't me. And, you know, hey, Rick, you're a hopeless ass kisser. Nobody thought it was you. You don't have enough brains to come up with Lodestar, for starters.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy word.
But precious Ivanka is telling Dadams, he's destroying your presidency. speaking of John Kelly.
Yeah, well, I'd say Trump's doing a pretty good job all on his own, you know?
but let's we will eventually get to this question, but just for the moment,
yeah,
a little something something. Maybe y'all have already heard this, but from the speech last night in Montana, where he went to campaign against John Tester.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a stunning little moment. In which Julius Geezer, you tell me, is this guy dosed to the eyeballs or what?
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an ominous, gutless coward. Ooh. An anonymous,
oh my God.
Really an ominous, an anonymous. Anonymous. Really an ominous.
Oh,
oh, you shit me.
Hey, John.
You hi, did Bob. That on purpose, didn't you?
Yeah. Shit. Man can't spit peanut butter out of his
mouth. Can't spit John. It out of his ass.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Can't spit peanut butter.
No, he can't do it.
You but know, the, for but, $500, I could have seen him today. He had a $500 appearance deal in Sioux Falls this afternoon. Got watching a video of Air Force One taking off from Sioux Falls today. He spent about 3 hours talking up Christy Noem Not Much's campaign for her governor bid in Sioux Falls, which, given the fact that we're talking about Dakota stanch, it's pretty much a sort of thing. But yeah, he was in my backyard today.
Well, you know, the thing about this clip is that everybody focused on anonymous, or anonymous. You know, he doesn't drink, okay?
Then why does he sound like he
and
does?
And this is not the first slurring incident. Remember the other slurring incident?
Yes.
They've got him dosed to the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way they can get him from hour one to hour two. They may be down to measuring minutes at this point. But in this clip, he slurs before he even gets to an ominous. Listen carefully.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed public.
Resistance. Now, either his dentures don't fit, or he's dosed to the eyeballs.
Sounds like 4 milligrams Klonopin every 4 hours to me, and that's the max dose.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
I don't know, but I think he's pushing it.
It's a train.
It's like, more than the max.
It's like Valium. It's a CNS depressant.
There
it's
you
the
go.
Same family. Yep.
Calm down, Donnie.
In the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an ominous, gutless.
That could be aphasia too. He may. I don't know. He may be very near to leaving the White House feet first, because it's being reported that he is absolutely boiling. Gabriel Sherman from Vanity Fair talked to one or two or three or 50 of the leaky sources inside the White House sieve. Yes. One person described Trump as rip shit. And another person said he's punch drunk. He's been hit so hard this week, he doesn't know what to do.
Oh, Lordy.
Good what, have many, many
what
stroke.
Have we got ourselves into? I don't give a shit which way he goes out. Head first, feet first. I really don't care at this point. I just don't.
He rolls out backwards. It's gone, man.
Man's an embarrassment if he, you know, croaks that way. Well, gee, too bad. Now pull up that septic tank and suck his ass out of here.
That's got to have a cowbell to it there.
Yes, it does.
There you go. That's the way he's going to be out.
John's parking him in the cheap seats tonight.
He might have had a mini stroke. My dad had a mini stroke, and he couldn't. He started slurring his speech.
An aneurysm, something, you know.
Well, I'm going over his. I'm going over his Sioux Falls speech, seeing if I can find anything weird going on here too. I don't know.
It was so nice to listen.
So far,
to
he's been talking about Spartacus a lot.
Yeah.
Spartacus. Well, I thought it was funny that we had an "I am Spartacus" moment yesterday in the Senate, yes. While just up the hill on, or just down the hill at the White House. They were having I'm not Spartacus. No way. Definitely not Spartacus moment.
No. Shit. It's a ball of wax we got going here, Bob. I'm telling you, between the book, the op-ed, Kavanaugh's what is that up there? It's supposed to be a confirmation there, and I don't know what the hell it is. It's a dog and pony show is what it is. You know, aren't we just rolling in the winning this week, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. And they just reopened mining in the Boundary Waters canoe area, too. Oh, I saw that on the headline on the front page of the Star Tribune in the grocery store today, and I just wanted to fling canned goods everywhere for some reason.
Yeah, that's going to be great. What is it, taconite, iron mining?
Yeah, taconite. Then I saw the byline, Bob. And then I started actually running to the bread aisle because I was going to start throwing things. And bread, you got to throw bread when you're at that point.
Trying to limit hurting other people.
I saw the byline, and I did a triple take. It's like, really? The byline under the mining exploration reopened near Boundary Waters. Here's the byline. We must put our national forests to work, official says.
To work. Yep.
Now, who is that official? That being none other than Confederate States, United States Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue.
Is that Tracy?
Oh, God, Sonny.
Hey,
Tracy. I'm here.
National forests to work.
Oh.
Yes.
Goddamn layabout trees. Just sitting there drinking water through their roots.
Standing there, just growing and producing oxygen. They're just doing nothing.
Hey, Laurel, say hello to John Brivido.
Hey, John, how's it going, John?
I am doing fine. Nice to meet you. How you doing?
Not too bad myself. I'm just, kicking back, enjoying some Reisdorf Kolsch and, praying to God, praying to God that America doesn't die tomorrow.
Yeah, we're hoping, but she's on life support. It seems like almost.
We're riding the slow boat to Hades right now.
Yeah, shit.
Fox News alert: ethics charges pending for Cory Booker. Developing. God, just grasping. Those documents were declassified. What do you mean?
Oh, really? They're going to go after him?
Go ahead. Do it. I think that's exactly what he wants them to do.
Yeah, and all poor old, all that poor old Klansman John Cornyn had was, he's running for president.
That's another one I need to slap. God, why are the two in my state so ignorant up there? Ted Cruz and John Cornyn. Are you shitting me? Jeez, I might want somebody up there with some sense, I swear. Somebody who ain't getting paid off by Russia.
It's a pain in the rear end.
Some other high pay. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, LT's been having a pain in the rear end lately. I had to take him to the vet yesterday. Apparently, I got him neutered, and I noticed slowly over the course of the last couple of weeks, he wasn't being neutered anymore, looking neutered anymore. Apparently, he had a bleed out or something.
Ouch.
Where I had to take him to the vet, and they drained it. And as soon as they got, as soon as I got him home, I had to put ice packs on his, lay him down and hold ice packs on his backside to try and keep him, keep it from swelling back up again. But this afternoon he's out roughhousing with the neighbor dogs and back it's swelling back up again. And since they took the needle to him yesterday, it's bleeding like crazy. It's like, oh, this is just too much mess for one day.
Oh Lord.
Oh, poor LT.
That don't sound good.
But well, hey, let me get to this legal question if you don't mind. Just because. Billable Rick, given your experience inside the
Injustice Department, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had clear allegations of two things that seemed like they would put the average American under the jail during the Kavanaugh hearings.
Okay.
First of all, we had the issue of receiving stolen property. Receiving stolen property is, I mean, there's a receipt, you know, usually it's handled on a state-by-state basis, but to the extent that it happened in D.C., it would have to be covered by federal law. And there is a federal receiving stolen property statute, isn't there?
I'm certain there would be, yeah.
Receiving goods, property, or services rightfully mm-hmm. the property of another, which the recipient yeah. knew or should have known were hot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same statute that would apply to grabbing the WikiLeaks stuff and using that, for example, you know, the documents that they had.
It's generally treated as if it was is generally treated the same as the actual larceny.
Okay, sure.
Because there is an almost identical mens rea.
Yeah, you have to. There must be a knowing. You know, you must take possession of it knowing that it's stolen.
So we're probably going to have a guy on the Supreme Court who received stolen property that he knew or should have known was stolen, and Leahy and Durbin did a pretty good job putting that all together.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to Google Manuel Miranda, the staffer, the Senate staffer who leaked everything, and the guy who did Hamilton kept coming up on the photos.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I was trying to find out what this cat looked like, you know?
Well, he didn't just leak it. He outright stole it. He hacked computers and stole it.
Yeah. So did he go to jail?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to find out.
But here's the thing. We had a Supreme Court nominee who got caught red-handed in his own confirmation hearing
mm-hmm.
having received the stolen property.
Yeah,
And then we had the multiple instances of colorable perjury that took place mm-hmm. during this hearing, at least four.
Yeah.
And Bob, let's couple that with
Hold on, Steve, I'm not being mean, but just let me finish here. How does that not at least warrant a reference for investigation to the FBI, Rick? I mean, if we were talking about something Billable Rick had done, there would be a reference to the FBI.
I'd be in the hoosecow already, Bob.
Sure.
Instead of getting 14 days like Papadopoulos got.
Am I missing something here? Is this one of those federal criminal statutes that doesn't apply to Republicans?
Well, I don't think it applies to Republicans who are nominated for either a cabinet position or a seat on the high court, because look what Jefferson Beauregard Sessions did as to his contacts with mm-hmm. Russians. He lied outright there, too, you know?
Yeah, but Mueller may have him in his hip pocket.
Back to my point, Bob. Let's couple that with the PR nightmare about Kavanaugh when he shunned that Parkview dad, the shooting mm-hmm. victim's dad, that picture alone would have been enough to sink any other Supreme Court justice nominee. How did these fuckers get away with it?
Nominated by a Democratic president, Steve.
Right. I mean, that you could put that right up there with the Dukakis in the tank photo. I mean, that should have sunk him right then and there.
Or John Kerry in the sperm suit.
Exactly. I mean... but it's like they're bulletproof, man.
Well, yeah, it sure seems like that. So your question then, Bob, is why isn't this guy getting investigated? I just say politics. I don't think there's any other explanation. Look at Clarence Thomas, you know, and the, you know, the allegations of sexual harassment against Anita Hill, which I think have been proven to be correct. Those allegations were true. And, you know, the problem is that one doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think that time it wasn't Biden the head of the Judiciary Committee?
Yeah, yeah.
And he could have put that whole thing on hold to allow for, you know, more exploration of those allegations. But, you know, he really didn't. He really did a pretty crummy job. And the Democrats were in control of the Judiciary Committee at that point in time. They weren't in control, I don't think, of the Judiciary Committee for the Roberts and Alito nominations, where, you know, again, perjury was committed by those two. And here they're at the disadvantage again because they're not in the majority. And, I mean, Chuck Grassley, it seems like he's busy, you know, chewing his cud, you know, from what I could see, or eating grass. I don't really know what.
I guess you could excuse Biden. You could excuse Biden for not thinking there was a threat back in 91. That's like, you know, that's like sitting somewhere in Belarus expecting to hear Genghis Khan's rushing horse footsteps. I mean, it's we're dealing with something we can't.
Well,
we can't comprehend.
I don't agree, Laurel. I don't agree. I mean, you know, that clearly that was 30 years ago. That was way before the Me Too movement, but. But still, these were credible allegations made by a law school professor, I think, at the time, Anita Hill. And, you know, it should have been, you know, they should have been much more circumspect in looking at it rather than just, you know, allowing the Republicans.
Yes, but we have a whole society that is collapsing in terms of, you know, social relations. I mean, just go anywhere on social media and it's like, my God, thank God I'm not a woman. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We're dealing in some pretty sick times.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we are. I mean, but it's, you know,
this isn't just a legal phenomenon. This isn't just a political phenomenon. I mean, we're witnessing collapse, not just an empirical collapse, but a collapse of our entire social, the collapse of our entire social norms.
Well, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when everything starts spinning out of control in this non-recovery we've gotten, where people just, you know, people are seeing all their hard work going for nothing. They're seeing all their, you know, they're seeing all their life savings going to nothing. You know, people are just, you know, coming into the young people coming in the workforce, seeing no future. They're going to start lashing out at whatever they see. And yeah. Women being a physical minority are a very easy target to lash out at. And it's just, this is not, I can't, you know, I'm not as eloquent, you know, as Bob is, but this is something that goes beyond politics, what we're experiencing.
Well, here. It clearly does, Laurel. And let me borrow a phrase from our buddy, Scott. Bob, we're totally screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed, Bob.
I remember the show where he said that, and I feel kind of guilty because I was really in a bad mood then. I think I might have pushed him over the ledge on that night. I feel personally responsible for that.
No. Scott's come back since then. Don't worry about it. But, I mean, yeah, I think it is a different time and a different place. And, yeah, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback it, but I guess what kind of sticks in my craw is that was the seat that Thurgood Marshall had, that Slappy Thomas was nominated for. So, you know, it's not enough just to have any old Negro in that position. You want to have somebody to carry on, you know, the philosophy of Thurgood. Obviously, you didn't have the kind of president that was going to nominate somebody like that. But,
no. But
I mean, there were credible allegations that this guy was just, you know, a total pervert, much in the mold of like Alex Kaczynski from the Ninth Circuit, you know?
And here's the thing. We're not going to put another decent Supreme Court justice up there again. Okay.
Oh, no. That's not true. If we have a Democratic president and a Democratic majority in the Senate.
Well, Merrick Garland, anyone? Merrick Garland, anyone?
No. He's too old. We need somebody who's young. What we need to do if Kavanaugh gets
We need to start. We need to start putting people on the bench who look like they're 12 years old, like Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what else we need to do? We need to
increase the number to 11.
Yep.
Make it 11. Make it 11. Yep. Make up for those two that were stolen.
Or
that's
go
what
to
we
7.
Have to do. You know, and all you need is a majority in Lincoln both houses to do that.
Here's what I see from where I'm looking at it. By the time November 2020 rolls around, we will probably have lost 80% of our global agricultural output. If you think that the people that are in charge of this dying empire now are going to leave something as mercurial as a collapsing civilization up to something like the franchises of the people, you're being somewhat delusional. Okay. We're headed for some incredibly dark times. Okay. I understand this is not the type of message that
you're challenging me for a little ray of fucking sunshine status, aren't you? Aren't you, Larry?
I tend to do that from time to time. You know, I'm a bit of a science nerd. I'm a bit of a weather geek. And I've spent much of the last 15 years studying climate data from everywhere I could find it. And we're at a point right now where either this year or next year or the year after that, we're going to lose the Arctic ice shelf, which is the main stabilizing vector for our friendly global agricultural climate. Once that goes, that process is going to swing out of control very, very quickly. And if you think we're going to find a political solution out of that, you're being delusional. Understand. Just because America is going the way of the dinosaur, just because most of modernity is going to go the way of the dinosaur, that does not mean I'm dissing democracy per se. The process of democracy, the process of one person, one vote, the process of the ability to speak one's mind freely can occur in any circumstance, in any environment, under any given situation. But we have to understand that we are at a tipping point that is going to take us to a place that for most of us, we have no concept of. Okay. We're talking about basically the end of modernity. And when we as a society have to respond to democratic aspirations in the midst of having to pick up all these billions of different pieces, we have to change our focus in terms of how we interact. You know, first off, you know, we can have very vibrant democracies in a post-agriculture collapse, but they're not going to be coast-to-coast democracies. They're not going to be national democracies, okay? We are going to have to start thinking local, really local. We're going to have to start building real relationships, not just Facebook relationships or, you know, podcast relationships. We're going to have to get out there and find like-minded people in real life that can help garner the cause of, you know, building strong, you know, and fair communities. And trust me, I understand I'm just scratching at the fringes like everyone else. This is going to be an amazingly difficult transition. And believe me, I'm nowhere near the Nobel Prize worthy levels of whoever is going to take that's going to try and figure out this. But we need to start focusing on a post-America world. We need to start focusing on a post-agricultural world. And I understand that's not going to be easy, but it's something we have to start doing. Because there are way too many good people in this world that are going to be absolutely blindsided by this. Because nobody's paying attention to this. And we have to be the ones, we have to be, pardon the pun, the lodestar to which all the other good people in this world can aim towards when the shit really starts hitting the fan.
Doesn't that start with our voice, with our vote, in our political system until we create that political atmosphere that allows that discussion? Everything you're talking about can't move forward.
It means being active. I mean, don't just sit around in despair. Action, action is the antidote to despair. Act, you know, do something. Don't just, you know, don't sit here and just lament the fact that we're in a very, very difficult situation. We need to be active. Yeah. We need to be out there, you know, fostering these real world relationships. We need to be out there, you know, putting
I've said that no matter what you're interested in, whether it be the environment, the immigration system, whether it be your consumer protection, whatever it is that whatever it is that stirs you, whatever, it's here. It's in this election. Yeah. Everything we're fighting for, everything we're discussing, right down to the environment, is in this election. Unless we win this shit, unless we start here, I believe it's like Obama said today, he said, this doesn't fix everything.
Well, here's the thing,
but
John.
We got to start here.
Here's the thing, John. The science is sound. We're going to lose our agricultural system. It's not going to matter if we win 400 seats in Congress and 80 in the Senate. Okay.
No.
It doesn't matter if it's send a clone.
Well, hold on, Laurel. Then you're engaging in nihilism. Okay.
I'm not engaging in nihilism.
On the technologies that we don't know yet. You know, when we get to this point, we still have science to further us that has to come up with better agricultural ideas. Better. We already know a lot of already. We should be using renewable sources and everything.
Yeah. What I'm saying is we're facing a lot of these changes as a civilization.
I believe we're seeing some of it today, you know.
Look, you know, having the right people in the right places of power will help to alleviate maybe the most dire parts of that, but we've still got a hell of a lot of heavy lifting. Okay, this is not something I need to try and put this in a frame of reference that doesn't sound nihilistic, but we can't just depend on the people we're voting into office to do the work of of making democracy happen in the future. Okay.
Well, look, there's a truism out there that's a truism because it's true. And that is that when the belly rumbles, the ass will move. And it's not like there's a whole bunch of liberal farmers out there. All right. Now there are some, they would be mostly your organic types, who are already not participating in the, corporate, agriculture world. But for the most part, they vote Republican. Am I wrong, John?
No, you're right. You're right.
And so the only way that they're going
because they're caught up with that whole nationalist idea, the
Here's
patriotism
the problem.
Idea, and all
Here's
that
the problem.
Shit.
Well, hold on, Laurel. Let others talk.
No problem.
That's all right.
So consequently, I mean, I remember when up Wisconsin way, when Bruce was driving me around up there. And we'd drive past these big, beautiful farms, and he'd say, and he'd point out a Republican sign in their yard, and he'd say, there's another damn farmer who thinks he's rich enough to call himself a Republican. and that's the reality of it, whether it's Wisconsin or the soybean fields of Alabama and Mississippi. You know, you got people who, you know, they're out there in the middle of nowhere because you can't farm in the middle of a city. Not really. And you know, the center of the community is the church that they go to on Sunday. And the preacher who stands in the pulpit of the church they go to on Sunday is basically, for all intents and purposes, a Republican operative. So, Laurel, I disagree with you that voting doesn't matter.
I think what John,
saying,
I think
again,
what
I'm
I think what I think what John
I
think
I
what
you're...
John I think what John said that if it's the environment for you, if it's reproductive choice for you, whatever it is for you, it's going to be represented by candidates on the ballot in whatever election you're participating in.
Well, I think you kicked the can in the right place there, Bob, because you're right. Right down to the local church, it's
well, understand.
It's that Republican mantra, that fake patriotism that they're led to believe. And, you know, a lot of people out in the country that look like me, they just naturally assume, well, they're just, you know, wave the flag and hold the Bible, go to church on Sunday. That's all they give a shit about. That's not right.
And that's all they've got to do, John.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Here's where I'm coming from. These farmers are nationalistic because we have a nation to glom onto. Once America goes away, they're going to stop being Republican. Once our world starts shrinking down to a local level, they're going to stop thinking race first or party first, and they're going to start thinking about feeding their own communities. They're going to start getting rational.
Well, that's not going to happen between now and November, Laurel.
I'm afraid of when that's going to happen because
it's
I've always said this.
It's going to happen a lot quicker than you think.
The day that happens, this is what scares me. And I've said this, my wife and I have been together 40 years plus. And we've always been set up to defend this country overseas. We've never been set up to defend our land. This is our country and all that kind of bullshit. The situation that you're describing, when we get to that point and when it's down to the local level, that's what scares me with the message that the right has been pushing for so long. It's going to be the guy down the street that wants your generator or your gas or your groceries or whatever it is that you got. That kind of mentality is what I worry about. You know, we want to foster a degree of benevolence in this case, in this country, that reaches out. We want to think that's what we are. But nowadays, with the right has been pushing for the last 10 years, that's not what it is. It's get your gun. It's protect what's yours. And if you have to forcibly go get something else, go get it.
Well,
that's
look, I
the
mean,
preaching.
Yeah, consider, John, this is, you know, I told people on this program not too long back that I'm deeply conflicted right now. We know that some of the local meth heads, pill poppers, heroin, fentanyl types, have been casing this house. Now, we don't have anything.
They don't know that, Bob. They'll find that.
No, they think there's something here. And so the theory would be that they would, and we're not, you know, you're not going to take this mixer out of the studio. You're not going to take this mixer and go and, you know, fence it somewhere, because it's probably the only one of these in four counties.
Well, they could probably get a good far.
But what they can do is they can take every piece of technology out of here and smash it all to pieces for the copper. And that's junky thinking, okay? And so here I am. Everybody knows how I feel about firearms. And I feel like I've almost been pushed to the point where I need to get a home defense weapon. Because, again, it takes the cops 30 minutes to get here.
You know,
I mean, we have one deputy that runs a stretch of highway that's something like 50 miles. One deputy on any given day. And I've actually looked for the input of the community as to, you know, should I or shouldn't I? Because I honestly don't know. On the one hand,
well,
unless you've got the drop on them, it's not going to help much. And
no. Then
I might be facing some sort of a criminal charge for defending my home. I'd hope not, but I don't know that for a fact.
You know, so many people think that you know, because you're a liberal, well, you don't believe in the Second Amendment, you don't own guns. That would be a sad mistake. I've said it before on my show, for anybody to think that I don't own weapons and that I would not protect my property if you came up here. There are, especially out in the country, a lot of uses, as you know, besides hunting, which, you know, which I've had to do myself, is in, and that is put down an animal that needs putting down fast. You don't want to delay, and a weapon is the best thing you can do. What bothers me is, you know, the debate goes on semi-automatic, and what does that mean? And the AR is no different than any others, semi-automatic, which is basically true, and that's their argument. But it's not that. It's the love affair that this nation has created
the
around
fetish,
that type of
the
weapon.
Fetish,
it's
John.
The fetish. I want that gun. I want that AR. I want a bump stock with it. I want to spit out because there might be 50 of them running over here. That's not going to happen. Let's hope. But that's the mentality that gets pushed down here in Texas. I'm sure where you live too. You got to have a gun. Protect your family. Of course you do. It's not a pretty world out here we live in. We see the news every damn day. But the constant love affair, the lust for that ultimate more firepower. You know, there's so many people down here in Texas, they want to get their guns and make their house where, you know, if we come in, I defend this and shoot them all. Well, what the hell are you saying? You're shooting your fellow citizens. That's what scares me about this whole shit that they pile up on the right, about him talking about the left, angry mobs, and you better be careful because the left extremists are all this bullshit. And it's going to result with some idiot going out there and grabbing his AR and thinking he's going to go out and save the world. Did it in the pizza parlor. I'm going to go save the pizza parlor. I'm going to go save the pedophiles. It's bullshit that pushed all through this nation that makes people want that weapon. That weapon.
It's here's the thing, John. Here's the thing. I can't imagine places in Texas being civilized after an agriculture collapse. They're just not capable of it.
But, Laurel, you're talking about something that is decades, if not centuries, away.
Well, we're going to get there.
I disagree, Bob.
Right,
I disagree.
With the environment
that ice,
changing.
That Arctic ice cap is going to start disappearing completely. It's going to happen fast.
When it goes
to hammer home to people,
what do you call that?
It's going to happen faster than anybody can even imagine. Listen to all the scientists. All of the scientists out there are saying what's happening right now is happening far faster than any of our most dire predictions.
Okay, stop screaming.
I'm sorry if I'm screaming.
Two. You know, we all.
It shows your passion and your concern for what is happening. But our response to it, I wish we could all grab our shovels or whatever that what it takes to go solve this.
I just
and
don't
we need to
be blindsided by this. There's
well, they're going to be. They're going to be, Laurel.
Hey,
they're going to be.
You're preaching to the choir here because, you know,
I don't want this to hit you unawares. I don't want this to hit anybody by surprise.
Look, in 2018, and I've said it, we've lived it, okay? In 2018, if you don't have stashed away, and for a lot of people it's going to be a problem because they don't have that much storage space, but if you don't have a week's worth of water stashed away at least, you're in trouble. If you don't have a few pounds of rice and a few pounds of beans and a Coleman camp stove and a couple of bottles of propane, you're going to be in trouble. I mean,
we all have to be prepared for that. But what we also have to be and preach it every day until it gets drilled in is the compassion for your fellow man to make sure that it's not just
okay.
You getting fed.
Right.
That it's
well, here's
everybody.
The thing. Here's the thing.
Have the salmon.
Yeah. Well, like right. I said, I you know the deer are plentiful around here. That won't be a problem. But you know, for many folks in the city, that you know, it's going to get bad and it's going to get bad quick.
As far as climate change, I saw Kofi Annan. I used to be in the United Nations in a couple months ago, and he was talking about climate change, and he just shook his head and said the governments won't help with climate change. It'll have to be individual people. That's, you know, he would just.
But it's those individual people that can influence nations.
I want you to.
That's what we need. It's those individuals influence that nation, influencing nations around the world to step up. And until we change the political environment we're in now, we're not going to get there.
Yeah.
So the political environment is one of the foremost things we have to solve in this country before we can move forward with anything else. Because right now we got a guy in there who could give a shit less about the environment, baby. He can make money off of this. He'll come up with some shit to make money, and that's all he cares about.
Right.
So until we change our house, until we get our house pointed back in the direction, because I say it all the time, all this shit that we have, the environmental protection, and that came, I don't know how old y'all are, I'm old. You know, I'm 65, 66 years old now. I remember the stories about acid rain and river, and that's how the EPA was formed, was by citizens demanding that the government do something about that. And we're at that critical point now where that's where it's going to take us, is a nation demanding that action be taken. You know, and we have to get back
right,
to that
and that's
point.
And that's political, okay?
That's political. That is the political
part. That's a matter of engagement. That's a matter of, and you know, look, I recognize, John, the problems. My God, you live it every day, with, you know, crazy ass Republican redistricting and gerrymandering and voter suppression.
Oh shit! Yeah. Yes.
So you know, saying we have to engage is not enough. We have to, it needs an adverb. We have to overwhelmingly engage. The only way you can win in these gerrymandered districts is if you overwhelm the overwhelm the model.
We don't need a victory. We need a message. And that means not just a win, a landslide, a what we've been talking about, a blue wave, an avalanche, whatever you want to call it. That's what we need, a nation to stand up and make a statement. We did this before, I tell my friends. We've done this before. The nation did stand up.
Look,
we can do this again.
As bad
we
as this is,
cannot tolerate this in our house.
There are people out there. There are highly sourced people out there that are even far more pessimistic than I am. Okay.
Oh yeah.
According to the Pentagon's Jason Group, this is right from the Pentagon. This is out of the Department of the Navy, out of the Pentagon's Jason Group. And you can Google them for yourself. The situation for life on Earth will be far worse than anyone has ever described. A well-formed insider within the Pentagon wrote in December 2016, the Jason Group at the Pentagon is getting new data that the effect of over 450 reactors melting down because of the collapse of civilization will most likely destroy the ozone layers, creating a situation rather than going Venus, Earth will end up more like Mars.
Well, then fuck it. Let's don't do anything.
All right, Bob. See you later, Bob. Nice knowing you.
Here's the thing. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Stop yelling, Laurel.
I like to yell. Sorry.
That's all right. I do too, buddy. I do too. It's because you're passionate. We know
that. And understand,
that.
I don't believe that. You know, I have.
But if you believe just a part of that, we are in dire straits. We are indeed in dire straits. But
and we and it and
vote on that issue right now, you know, it if you, you know, voter, you're gonna die. Well, that's true, but dying ain't gonna happen for a long time. And it's like a TV commercial; they'll just keep watching that shit till the end of it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and frankly, if that matters, then don't vote for anybody who will not publicly state that climate change is real.
If that's your passionate issue, baby, go for it, because you got lots of ammunition.
And look,
this
guy's
pulling back every regulation.
Here's the thing, John. I ran for the state Senate seat. I ran for the Democratic endorsement of the state Senate seat in my district. Yep. And I got my clock cleaned.
That's all right, baby.
Young lady,
that's all right.
You know, a young lady nearby, you know, who beat me was the valedictorian out of her graduating class at the University of Minnesota. Just an obscenely talented individual. It reminds me of Obama at a younger age. But even at that point, even when I knew I was being, you know, even though I knew I was getting my lunch handed to me, I made it a point to stand in front of that crowd of delegates and state, look, we have to focus on what's going on in our event. We have to focus on being low, you know, being local, you know, building local Democratic, you know.
I tell them, baby, it starts at dog catching.
Yeah.
If you want a better community, we have if you to, want a better life, it starts at the lowest area that you can think of. The guy that's on the school board that's teaching your kids.
And that's the thing. You know? If I was completely nihilistic, I want to run.
Oh, shit, you can't run. There ain't no place to run, though. There is no place to run.
I want to run for office, I mean.
Oh, okay.
There's no way to run it. Yeah. I can't.
Well,
I'm
do
not,
it.
How can I be a nihilist?
Whether you win or not is not the point. Your message gets through. And eventually, if that message is powerful enough, you will make through.
And, you know,
I get into that persistence.
It's hard for me.
Yeah. Damn, that's powerful. It is.
It's just hard for me to discuss the scale. It's a problem of scale. You know.
Well, let's get some.
Don't scare them too bad now. Get your point about just don't scare the shit out of them.
And by the way, I had a note from.
We're all going to start building an ark, baby.
John, you're talking to somebody who read Stephen King's It when he was 10 years old.
Well, that explains
everything. By the way, for anybody who wants to go and find it, and I'm going to after the program, Robert in Australia sent along a link. A TED Talk worth watching, at least I think so. Alan Savory, S-A-V-O-R-Y, Alan, A-L-L-A-N, Savory, S-A-V-O-R-Y, How to Fight Desertification and Reverse Climate Change. So anybody who wants to follow this issue further might want to go and have a look at that.
I love TED Talks, buddy.
I do too.
I've told you before that I get nervous about coming into a group with this because I am a layman.
You don't need to find.
I have only had a limited amount of college. I have not been exposed to the level of intellect that a lot of y'all are.
Go sandbag somebody else, John.
Ah, shit, Bob, I'm trying to build a leg here, buddy. Come on, cut a guy some slack.
No. I grew up in Alabama. I grew up with Bear Bryant the week before he'd take on the little old ladies' university for the deaf and blind. No, that's no slur there. And he'd be on there, well, I don't know. They've got a mighty powerful football team. We might be lucky to get out of this with a win. And, you know, you get up Sunday morning and it's 156-0. I know from sandbagging, okay? I just do. By the way, Robert in Australia said, goddamn pollies. They got a new prime minister down in Australia. And guess what? The new prime minister is determined to ramp up coal mining. He sees it as the future. Robert says, as I've always said, the Liberal Party here in Australia still thinks it's 1950. Or 1850, for that matter. Jesus Christ, going to ramp up coal mining. God almighty.
It's the new thing, clean coal, Bob. Look into it. Donnie talks about it all the time.
Oh, my God. My
you got
God.
Guys out there with rags cleaning that stuff. I'm telling you, I've seen it.
Yeah, and the little Keebler coal elves are making more down in the ground every day, every day. Well, hey, let's bring on the stress line. I think we got Scott. Hey, Scott.
Well, I should preface this by saying this portion of Little Fucking Rays of Sunshine's weekly town hall is brought to you by Stuff No More, the miracle plastic product you spray upon your children before they go out to play. And now the moderator of today's edition, Scott in San Diego. Jesus H. Christ. I'm the room's official and chief practitioner and West Coast distributor of relentless optimism, and I'm out searching for the fucking razor blade and the tourniquet. Jesus H. Christ on a pogo stick. My. Well, my usual optimistic spin will have to be applied. Laurel was talking about a non-agricultural future. Well, I'm just happy I held on to my Solient Green stock, you know, because I'm going to be a rich some bitch.
There you, you know? Go. I didn't know we still had stock in that. I'm going to go look.
Jesus. I step upon the Friday on the front porch with great trepidation. A friend, because I, you know, one hardly knows what to say or what to think. Before I get launch into this, I've got a couple of observations, but I've got a TV viewing tip that I discovered last night. For those of you who have Amazon Prime Video, there's a documentary on there called Trumping Democracy. And I don't know how I missed it. Apparently, it's been out for a little while. Watch that thing, Trumping Democracy. And it starts with stuff that you already know. But if you stick with it, it'll pay off in a big, big way. And that's all I'll say about it. I don't want to, you know, spoil the ending. But good Lord, we're all screwed, Bob. You know, I come by that honestly to hear Lord. Some of this.
Well, apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah. Other than that, Jackie, what did you think of the parade? You know.
You know, here's the thing. Because I'm a science geek and weather geek, I'm just constantly drawn to everything that comes on. You know, there's an article by The Guardian that I just posted up. You know, Arctic's strongest sea ice breaks up for the first time on record. Scientists describe this as scary.
It is.
Well, yeah, and sure. Hurricane Florence is churning around out in the Atlantic right now. The wind shear has dropped. It's going to get it's already gotten to Cat 4 status, and if it gets anywhere near the North American East Coast, it's going to be hell's a poppin'. The only hope is that the models suggest that since they started keeping track in about 1850 or so, none of them that have formed that way have hit the coast. But in the world of climate change, all bets are off.
Well,
and there's two more storms.
Spaghetti models I just seen. Had it going in, you know, down there around anywhere from northern Florida up to Virginia and stuff. And expected to reach Cat 4 status again before it gets there.
Yeah, you and, know,
it
and
died
even
off
if it,
Cat 4, and now it's going to build back up.
But
and,
it's so damn quickly. It's so damn
it's
huge.
The speed it's doing it.
Yeah, it's so damn huge yeah. that if it stays 200 miles offshore, it can cause massive flooding.
Maybe. And this is being continually repeated year after year here more frequently, the strength of the storms. This is all indications of climate change. It's the stuff that even me, I can see. Hell, these damn storms are twice as big as when I was a kid. I've lived on the Gulf Coast all my life. You know, I know what a storm looks like. And you know, they're getting not only bigger, but they're getting bigger with more frequency. And it's, you know... We're heating up, baby. That water's warm out there.
Here's one for you. And I'll have to put my take off my relentless optimist hat and put on my little ray of fucking sunshine hat.
We need that ray of fucking sunshine here.
The political solution may not be the one that we need simply because enough people have already voted in favor of this climate shit hitting the fan in these present days and into the future, that it may take decades to undo, if that's possible, to undo the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Some people think we've already hit the tipping point and that there's no way back. Now, I'm not among them, but I'm just telling you that it could well be that we have missed our chance. And you've got to figure that in the equation.
Scott, the recovery process that our civilization is going to take to resemble anything remotely close to what we have today is going to take thousands of years. Okay.
Well, there you go.
The changes that we
make today. Well, that's just too big for human beings to handle. That's too big a bite to chew.
Well, then you have to you put Grandpa in the home because he's going to die, but you want him to be as comfortable as you can before he dies. It's the same way with our own existence here. Eventually, you know, an asteroid is going to come out of the sky one day, and shit, you think the dinosaurs got it bad. Whew, it's going to be bad. And so whether it be from an asteroid, climate change, the world will eventually come to an end. It's how we make
sun's
it gonna
burn out
now.
John,
it's gonna go, baby, it's gonna go. I'd like to
you want
to
talk about a melting
I'd
ice
like
cap
to see a big red thing like that before I check out. I would Oof. Love to see that in person.
I understand
so we have to constantly fight for whatever little bit of ground that we can fester up,
you know,
to make our ending days a little bit.
Understand, for the vast majority of the 200,000 years that human beings have lived on this planet, population has never gone above a couple hundred million at the most. Okay.
Oh,
now humanity could last for another. For another couple hundred thousand years more, maybe even a million years or more. But understand that the human population far off in the future is not going to be any larger than what it was beforehand. Because the only reason we have these elevated population numbers is because of all this free energy we're getting through our, you know, through the fossil fuels. Okay. Once the fossil fuel era ends, no, we're not going to have a population of more than a billion people. And that's going forward. Even if humanity survives millions of years, which it very well may.
Well, to John's point, even though the music, the tune has changed and we're finding our way into a new dance in response to the new music, it's incumbent in the short term to carve out and hang on to and increase whatever ground we can. Because
we can't lose ground. Yeah.
Okay. Let me try and put it this way, and then I will just STFU and let everybody else talk the rest of the show.
All right. What you got?
Humanity's footprint is going to be lighter. It is going to be softer upon the land. May our footprints be as beautiful as they are light.
God bless. That's the dream, baby. That's the dream. That's what we all got in our head.
I think we got to give Laurel the
everybody wants to
Ray of Sunshine hat after that comment. That's like amazing, Laurel.
Let me jump in here.
Scott, I love your movie recommendation.
You ain't going nowhere. You got to sit here and listen to the rest of us.
Yes,
Scott, I love your movie recommendations, but Trumping Democracy actually streams on Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix. So just for anybody listening.
Oh, did I
out
say
there.
Netflix? I thought I said
yes,
Amazon
sir, you
Prime.
Did. It's Amazon Prime because I just looked it up.
Holy cow, somebody got their head torn off. I'm sorry, I'm watching last night's game. I had to get up at 6 o'clock to do an ultrasound, so I'm watching the replay of the Eagles Falcons.
But Scott makes awesome movie recommendations, so I just wanted to get that out there.
By the face
hey, how you feeling, Steve?
I'm doing okay, Bob. I'm doing okay. Thanks for asking.
Well, you've been keeping me posted and everything, and I don't necessarily blather about it, but I just wanted to make everything's you're getting better.
Right, I've got updates that happen by the day, and I'll shoot you an email in a day or two and bring you up to speed.
Okay. Well, you know, at one point during the Little Ray of Sunshine debate over the imminent demise of humanity, I had a note saying, "Jesus, Bob, can't you crank up some food porn or something? It's Friday." Well, the fact of the matter is I can, because I can happily announce that the griddle plates for my little Coleman road trip grill that I got for such a bargain have arrived. So I'm thinking over the weekend I'm gonna haunt the manager's special section in the meat cases and see if I can find something to do the ding 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 on a very miniature scale and do the little, you know, teppanyaki thing with the vegetables and the onions and work up some fried rice, you know, some fried rice and some beef or something like that and see how that all works up. So I'm really stoked for that. And the other side of it, you take off one side of the plates and there's a cooktop, it's a stainless steel wire cooktop that fits in on this thing. And so maybe while I've got the smoker going, I'll be making up a big pot of another big pot of homemade barbecue sauce. I'm stoked.
Hey, I've got some beer porn for you though. Like I said, I'm trying this Reisdorf Kolsch for the first time.
You've never had a Reisdorf?
No, first time ever.
It's quite good. I mean,
I picked it up just went to the you know, went to the local Blue Mound liquor store that was on the drive home from work and decided, eh, why not try it for a little bit, see what's going on. And, you know, give Blue Mound Liquor some props. They were closed on Labor Day. I was going to try it on Labor Day, but they were closed. So there you go. You got something good to talk about their business for.
But well, yeah, Reisdorf is good. Fru is good. My favorite is Goffel. But if you can get any good German Kolsch, you're miles out in front of me.
It's definitely not sex in a canoe, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not fucking close to water.
Exactly. Here we go.
Hey, Bob, speaking of canoeing, I have a little canoe trip to report.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was. I flew into St. Louis last Wednesday. My mom had a 80th birthday September 1st, so that was in Iowa. That was the main reason for going, but hung out with my brother Jeff for a couple of days in the Ozarks along with my friend Star and my son. And we went canoeing on Thursday. We got in like at maybe 4 in the morning on like early Thursday morning into the Ozarks because our plane was 8 hours. Well, I missed the plane because I relied on my phone alarm to go off and somehow it self-muted. I don't know how. So I woke up too late to get to the airport in time. So we ended up sitting there for basically all day. Got into St. Louis at like past 10. Met up with my brother for breakfast at like 1:30 at Denny's and then drove to the Ozarks. But it was fun. We went canoeing on a river called the Current River, which is maybe probably no more than like 50 miles north of the Missouri-Arkansas border in the Ozarks. And it was beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It rained
beautiful up in there.
That yeah, it rained for the first hour. Actually, we had a thunderstorm, but it wasn't hitting the ground. It was cloud to cloud. And so we probably got about an inch of rain. So that was nice. Got all, you know, wet and stuff. And saw a bald eagle. I did, just briefly. And saw a bunch of egrets and great blue herons and a couple of...
can't beat that nature shit, I'm telling you.
Yeah, what's that?
You just can't. I said, you just can't beat that nature shit.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's yeah. Beautiful. And my brother... We were Star and I, my friend, girlfriend, and I were in one boat. My son and my oldest brother were in another boat. And I mean, this guy, like, talk about wanting to save the world. He would like stop whenever he saw any garbage or detritus on the side of the bank, and he would like go out of his way to pick up the garbage, toss it in his canoe in a bag that he had, and so.
We need passionate people like that. We need.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. He's. We need more humans like him instead of like Brett Kavanaugh, for example, you know? I mean, what a
fake.
Oh, what a total fake. I mean.
Oh, man, you know, this guy.
I mean, I was watching him. His talk about abortifacients, supposedly, you know, like contraceptives being abortifacients, that's total bullshit because, you know, you don't have a pregnancy unless and until.
An egg's been fertilized.
The egg's been fertilized and it sticks to the uterine wall.
Uterus, okay? Wall, right.
And so if you have something that prevents the sticking process, how the hell could that be considered an abortion? Again, Bob, as you say, they're not content to just get rid of Roe versus Wade. They want to get rid of Griswold. And, you know.
And once you've gotten rid of Griswold and the right to privacy, guess what? They can go right in the bedroom and because to get rid of Griswold will in effect delegitimize the cases that, for instance, said laws against sodomy are unconstitutional.
Right,
Griswold,
right.
Griswold is everything, and they want Griswold.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean that'll reinstate Lawrence versus Texas when Texas tried to criminalize sodomy.
Bowers versus Hardwick.
Oh, that was it. That was it. Okay. I'm trying to think.
These are the times I really miss my mom. She's one of those firebrands who would have went up to these, you know, high and mighty types and told them to all piss up a rope when they told her that.
Well, more than 200 people were arrested during the Kavanaugh hearings, and I would like to offer my appreciation, and I presume the rest of the community does as well, for those acts of civil disobedience, patriotism. Now I know that people like your senator John Cornyn said that these were unfortunate outbursts.
Unfortunate. Yeah, I thought they because, were patriotic as hell.
Yeah, because, you know, people exercising their First Amendment.
Out of their butt, that is the most patriotic thing to do.
Yeah.
People
but it tells you everything you need to know about about Republicans, that they think that someone exercising their First Amendment rights is an unfortunate outburst. But on the other hand, if a guy refuses to bake a cake for somebody because they're gay, he's exercising his precious religious liberty.
Yeah. And if he takes the knee, he should be cast out.
I just want to get this out there real quick. What we also had this week was a reminder that this is not a Donald Trump problem, okay? Brett Kavanaugh would have been nominated by Jeb Bush or by John Kasich or by Marco Rubio, okay? Because they all bend over and plant their little Republican lips where it's all brown and smelly at the Federalist Society, okay?
Yeah.
That's a fact. And to sit there and watch Chuck Grassley chair that hearing, well, it was like time traveling for me because I remember...
As I understand, Kavanaugh didn't even make that damn list until after Mueller's investigation was started. That's when Kavanaugh was added to the list.
Yeah. And this whole thing
with Kavanaugh stinks.
Yeah, it does.
From the time Kennedy resigned,
and why did he? Yeah, and let's remember why he resigned.
For that, all of that shit combined up with this guy. I got pissed the other night. I was listening to some case. He was about Jane Doe, a young Hispanic girl that crossed the border, and she was pregnant. I think it was because of a rape all on her way up. She's 17 years old. She's been in detention here in the United States, in Texas. She seeks an abortion. A court gives her the abortion, but the HHS, run by Department of Homeland Security, do not allow her out of the building. So they had to go to a higher court and ended up in front of Kavanaugh. And Kavanaugh kept delaying. They were looking for a sponsor. We're going to find you a sponsor. Once we get a sponsor for you, well, that person can take you to get an abortion. But we have to investigate the sponsor. We have to have a home visit to the sponsor, and we have to.
And
do
they were
every other
and what they were trying to do. And what they were
they
trying
to
do,
to
John,
get
is they
20
were.
Weeks.
Yeah, exactly. They were doing
they get
exactly
the 20
what
weeks
they,
in Texas. Boom, it's over.
Yeah, they were doing exactly the same thing
asshole,
they did in this hearing. They were trying
that
to run out the
prevailed.
Clock.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You know, we need something similar to the NBA's shot clock, in these hearings. Without a doubt. But I heard Tracy's voice a minute ago, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't run over top of her.
Hi, y'all. I was wondering when you were going to let Tracy. The black person with a uterus speak.
Well, hey, Tracy. Good one.
It was the uterus thing now. Don't accuse us of being racist.
we need less patriotism and more matriotism.
I'm telling you.
Well, there you go.
That's not a bad idea,
like
baby.
That.
I like the idea of a woman.
Go, Tracy.
I've been listening. You know, I'm going to do my weekly. Let's see what white people are doing to black people thing. So let's see. So we have this white woman who called the police in Oklahoma because the black people wouldn't talk to her.
Did you see the video out of Orlando, Tracy? Of the white guy getting up in the face of the extremely pregnant black woman, shrieking and screaming at her in a grocery store parking lot. And
why?
Who knows? Because cranky white guy. You know,
because they feel like they got the authority now to speak.
And so a black guy who was packing heat came up to defend her. And the next thing you know, you hear the white guy going, "Put the gun away, put the gun." The guy didn't have the gun out. "You got a gun. Oh my God, he's got a gun." And then he tries to lay hands on the dude and he clocked him and white dude went all victim.
You hear about
you
up here in Texas,
me.
Up by Dallas, some white off duty cop just shot a resident.
Went into the wrong apartment, said, "Oh,
yes.
I thought it was my apartment." Walked into this man's apartment and shot him dead because, you know.
Because he was black. What do you care? He was black and in that house. What was? How dare him?
Yes,
that story's big down here in Texas. I'm telling you, that's disgusting.
Police to seek manslaughter charge against Dallas cop who shot and killed man after mistaking victim's apartment for her own.
How drunk do you have to be to do that?
No, she had just gotten off of work.
I don't want to plug my show, but I did one.
Some
today.
People get pretty toasted at work.
And I made a plea, baby. I got a letter from a guy named Jimmy. He's up in Brooklyn, New York. This guy wrote to me and told me he was an African American and he wanted to thank me because he did not know that there were conscientious white people out there that still stood up for all Americans and not just there. That bothers me because I've gotten letters like that before because of my views. And that should not be treated like it's something special. That should be the norm for all of us. I don't understand somebody saying thank you for something that you should do anyway.
When Alex was a kid, when he was a baby and little, we would go to restaurants and to the movies and stuff like that. Cause, you know, single mom, and I'm not going to stay at home. And I taught my son to be well behaved. And people would walk up to me all the time. Your son is so well behaved, and I'm thinking that should not be the objection. That should be the norm.
Yes.
You know, I should not be getting
it's nice,
it.
But nobody should go, wow, that's unusual.
Right. That's unusual that your child can sit in a restaurant and eat a meal without ripping and running up and down, you know, the aisles or screaming at the top of their lungs or falling out and all that. I'm like, no, that's just how I'm, you know. Yeah. Children are supposed to behave to a certain extent, but it's when I'm at that point, you know, because you know the whole thing about Colin Kaepernick and you know white people losing their minds, and it's hilarious.
Nike stock went up.
And then now Ford Motor Company is actually steadily behind it too, and now what are they going to do? Burn up their trucks?
Yeah. Want to see that? Did you see that video of that idiot lighting his Nikes on his feet on fire?
Oh no, I got one better.
Real brains.
No. This one where somebody lit their tennis shoes or whatever on fire and burnt down their house.
Well, Carol Baker sent me that link and she told me it was
fake. Show them.
It got worse. It got worse because there is a genuine crisis taking place in the land of my birth.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
What's going on, Bob?
Nick Saban, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide football team, has said that he has no objection to people kneeling at the national anthem.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Throw him out of the South. Can't have that.
The entire state of Alabama is going to go up in flames with people burning Nike Alabama jerseys.
Well, and that's my question, Bob, about this whole thing about them protesting Nike. Considering that Nike is a sponsor, a huge sponsor, I know nothing about football, but I do know enough to know that on those rare occasions that I do watch football, I see the little Nike swoosh on their uniforms. So does that mean they're going to stop watching football?
Well,
they should.
Hey,
they held to their values. They burn their Nikes. They'll quit watching football. They'll whatever else is.
A little college up in Arkansas has packed up all of its football uniforms and sent them back because they're Nike.
They're Nike. Well, get rid of them. We can't have that. Cool.
You have the money to replace those uniforms now?
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with two on the bus the other day. In Lily White, Montana, we have the lowest population of blacks in the nation.
There's black people in Montana?
They were talking, in Montana, and one was telling how Kaepernick was a coward for kneeling. And just the minute before that, he was saying how he missed out on all the money because he was doing it. Then he said he was a coward. It was just unbelievable.
How are you a coward if you're risking your livelihood, you're risking death, because I know he's gotten death threats, but he's doing this in front of a national audience. Would you, I've gone to a couple, where did I go the other, I was at a baseball game. I didn't kneel, but I sure as hell didn't stand up. And it, even before Kaepernick, I did not stand for the national anthem because I know what the national anthem stands.
Look around, Tracy. Look around. They're not all standing either.
No. Baby.
They're not all these guys that wave the flag and all that shit. Half of them get up to run to go get a beer during the national anthem. Oh, I got to hurry up, go get some beer before the national anthem's over.
Right. That's,
you know,
it's
a fake
beer.
Sense of patriotism that the Republicans have sold to a lot of the Central America. Oh, you have to be Republican to be patriotic. That's bullshit. And I try to reclaim that every time I speak. I'm a liberal. I don't look like one. I wear a cowboy hat. My beard is down. My beard's getting too long. I look like some typical Trumper. But a lot of people that live out in the country look this way. Doesn't mean we think that way. And we have to reclaim that patriotism, that love of country. We're the ones that love the values of this country. We're the ones that stand up for what our constitutional papers say that we are. And
well,
that's what this country has strived for so long to become.
Well, it's like, you know? the anonymous freak, this mess that, you know, the op-ed in the New York Times. Motherfucker, you're not a patriot. You're not. Because if you are a patriot and if you claim to love this country as much as you claim
then
to
you
love
would
this
stand
country,
up.
You would stand up. You would demand congressional
speaking
hearings.
Out is one thing.
You know,
and Lord knows we probably do need somebody to watch his ass. But that what they're describing should not be allowed by anybody in that White House, by
no.
John Kelly, by Maddox, or any of the other staff. If somebody should stand up, I don't, you know, the constant thing I get is, well, do you see what the economy's doing? Kiss my ass. That's a reflex from Obama anyway. And whatever it is, the price is too
it's
high for my country.
Pay. That's
I don't, it's
that,
not
I
for sale, baby. It's
not
for sale. That's the essence of what their argument is that I'm making lots of money. Kiss my ass. I don't care how much money you're getting. It's
you
not
know,
worth the cost.
No. I want to breathe clean air. I want to drink clean water.
That's right.
I want to be able to go to my
neighbors to be able to barbecue
rig.
Without having. That's right, baby.
And you know what? The other part of it is that so many people have been convinced wrongly that it's an either or, that if you have clean air and clean water, you can't have an economy.
That's conservative
that's bullshit.
Idea. No doubt.
That's a mentality that can't get past the whole idea of change. Oh, we've always done it like this. It's the best thing we can do. We'll just keep doing it this way. It stinks that way. And, you know, that's what I meant a little while ago. I'm looking forward to not only – I know that the world is going to end probably either from a meteor or our own environmental ignorance, but it's working towards a more restful peace when we get there. We can't stop this fight for anything, for the equality of races, for the environment, for all of it.
Well, so I remember
what this country was founded on, and that's what it means to be a patriot. Not all the bullshit, not the waving the flags and shooting the fireworks off. It's not that. It's not
fake
putting a
jingle.
Bumper sticker on your car. You know, we support the troops is just that. It's a bumper sticker. You know, it's not meant to be followed.
My brother was in the Air Force, and he was in Iraq, and he was sitting in one of Saddam's palaces, right? And he got up to smoke a cigarette. Oh, hold on. Hold that thought. My Chinese food's here.
Ooh, yummy.
Oh, what are we having?
Oh, we're having chicken.
Ah, food porn, buddy.
Pao chicken. We're having... What else are we having? We're having chicken chow mein, having shrimp fried rice, garlic beef, war wonton soup.
No egg foo young?
No egg foo young.
Oh.
How you doing?
Hey, Tracy?
Hey, John, can we have a Beto update?
Outstanding. That guy is doing so good. I love this guy. I love him. Don't say that name around me. I just get all giggly. I'm like a schoolgirl after this guy. I swear. I'm going to go see him the next chance I get, too.
Do you think...
Y'all see him on Ellen?
Thank you. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was going to ask do you think Raffi Alito, with his fawning ass-kissing of Brett Kavanaugh, did himself any favors this week?
You know, there are two commercials that are running down here in Texas. One of them is Ted Cruz and the other is Brett Kavanaugh. It goes on constantly. Brett Kavanaugh, he's the sweetest thing in the world. He rides a unicorn, farting rainbows. It's just sickening, sweet shit. And then the other side is Ted Cruz. Beto's going to kill you. He's going to let all the MS-13 come over there and rape your father over there, and they're going to kill your mother, too. Your kids are going
to
be...
Set fire to your dog. Yep.
It's going
to
be terrible. That's what Ted Cruz is. That's what he is. He's hating, feeding on that same hate and smear shit that they do. And that's what I point out about Beto O'Rourke. If you go see him, if you listen to his commercials, anything else, he's not doing that. He's talking about our future, baby.
Ted Cruz wants to try to dunk a basketball.
Oh my God, that was precious.
I heard about that.
Fell right dunk, on his face. That is,
dunk one?
Okay, shit, guess knows. So.
Well, he even had help, and when he got airborne, the two guys that were supposed to carry him to the basket just dropped his ass.
Don't blame him either. Damn, that's a load of shit.
Disgusting.
Oh, we're about 15 minutes away from the end of the program, so I need to do a quick fundraising update. We got $130 to finish the week. 13 new subscribers at $10 a piece. You know, that ten bucks a month works out to be way less than a quarter of a cup of coffee a day from Starbucks or something. So it's dirt cheap media. But we got 130.
Cheap price to pay for a voice that's just screaming for what we need.
Thank you, John. Cheap price. Thank you,
Bob.
Yes.
Bob, don't forget the funky feathers are still available.
They absolutely are.
If anybody wants to kick in a donation, $5 or more to the horn.
I thought it was at 21. I thought we set that at 21 to celebrate Punky's 21 years on the planet.
Well, we did, but they weren't moving. I thought maybe for Friday on the front porch, the Deep Dark Depression edition, just today only. we have a little special going on here at the Feather Factory.
It's Punky's Crushing Nihilism Special.
I'm only sorry he didn't live to hear this edition of Friday on the Front Porch. Of course, it would have killed him.
Yeah, he would have taken a header into the picture window. I'm struggling not to. And I'm a human.
Oh man. But anyway, if anybody...
We'll call it $10. If we can, just send a note. If you want to kick in and you want a Punky Feather, put Punky Feather in the note part when you go to PayPal, or send me an email saying Punky Feather, whatever. You got to give me an address, because then I got to provide the address to Scott in San Diego.
Trust me, they'll be far more valuable than LT's bloody ice packs.
Oh, Jesus, Laurel.
Well, I love tearing people down.
And just to be clear for any listeners who are with PETA or whatever, I did not pluck these feathers out of Punky post-mortem or even when he was still alive and shrieking. Over the years, 21 years I had that bird, he would lose feathers occasionally, as birds do. And for whatever reason, I saved them, a whole bunch of them anyway. No bird was harmed in the saving of these feathers.
Okay.
I wanted to chime in.
Go ahead, Erwin.
Scott reminded me of the Dark Bunny is going to be on PBS before the election. I don't know if anybody had heard that, but I don't know the exact day, but Dark Bunny was... The documentary, the producer that's a transgendered woman here just over the mountain from me, from Helena, Montana, and she is the one that put that together. So I just wanted to put that out, that's coming up. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's really good. But
and by the way, just hit and miss along the way. Have you seen that Roy Tola Moore? is suing Sacha Baron Cohen and CBS and, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen's great-grandmother and for $95 million because Sacha Baron Cohen made me look like a prevert.
Well.
Bob. Oh, God, Bob, you remember that song
Tracy,
this didn't take much, did it?
Bob, you remember that song you played as, like, a buffer when you were talking about Roy Moore, that she is only 16, I was 34. That song's now on our regular rotation at the casino.
Oh my God,
every time it plays, I see that. No. Oh, no.
That's what goes, now every time you hear it, that's what you, Roy Moore!
Yeah. Her and Roy's a customer there as
her
well.
Her mama said I could.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Over the last 3 months, both of your intro songs made it on the rotation too. That big country song and the intro song. Oh, what is it?
Oh, dancing in the streets.
New York,
Los
Angeles.
Dancing in the Streets and Big Country are both on the regular rotation too. I'm thinking, does somebody listen to the show that works here too?
I think so, Larrell.
You know what? There are secret listeners. There are secret listeners to the program all over the place. The places we've heard ideas that originated on this program and then pop out, and it's astonishing. Hey Tracy, you tried to jump in there for a second again. Did they screw up your order?
That's not the question. The question is, did he bring it up for all of us?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm hungry now. Damn it!
So I mean to tell you.
Usually it's me doing it to other people.
Every time I come on your show, you start talking. You.
But I was all set earlier because Agnes has become the queen of the grilled sandwich. Just a simple lunch today of thin sliced Cajun chicken breast and a little bit of mayo, a little hot pepper cheese, and some bacon grilled on sourdough. Whew! Oh, mercy sakes alive. Yeah, that was right. That was so right. But here where I am, we don't have good Chinese food. As I've mentioned in the past, our Chinese restaurant is literally named OK Chinese.
Hey, it's okay.
It's not great. It's not good.
It's not great, but it's okay.
It's okay. But it's one of those buffet affairs.
I love Chinese.
You know, some of the best I ever had was just a little joint on South Capitol Street in D.C. No parking anywhere. We hiked to it. But my God, it was good. And, of course, then there's all the stuff over in Chinatown. And, you know, wow. You know, there's one place there that's got the roasted ducks hanging in the windows. Yeah, it's good.
Shut up, Bob. With Chinese food.
You were talking, Bob, and I was remembering when I went to Taipei, Taiwan, talking about Chinese food, baby. I mean, God, the sights, the sounds, the what you're describing there, just whew.
Bob, yes, stop telling us how to have roasted sandwiches.
Oh,
stop
man.
Telling us how to eat grilled cheese, Bob.
Stop telling us how to hang ducks in windows, Bob.
The thing that you've got to watch out for in today's world with Chinese food, the fortune cookie messages have taken on the flavor of Trump or the attitude surrounding Trump. I got one the last time I stopped by the local joint here to pick up Chinese. My fortune cookie slipped. I opened it up, pulled out the little slip. It said, "It's all bullshit, and then you die." And I'm thinking, what the fuck is this? You know?
Oh, you got a disgruntled fortune writer.
Yeah, life's a bitch, and then you die.
Someone who's not happy in his work, you know?
That's the short.
And then you turn it over, and it says. And then you turn it over and it says, "Learn to speak Chinese," and you see the characters and it says, "Fuck this," you know what?
Yeah. you were talking about the authorship of the op-ed in the New York Times. One answer could be, someone conjured up Nancy Reagan during a seance, and she brought Mark Felt with her, and he wrote the op-ed piece.
We will eventually know. Eventually.
Oh, it's good.
We're going to find out. You know, I do like the thought that they would get the courage to come out and say in person what they wrote. It would make a more powerful impact. And besides this, the whole title of that thing, you know, it just feeds the right. Oh, look there. There's the resistance. They're in the White House. They're after our president. We must blah, 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 blah. Fill in all the blank of that.
Probably
bullshit.
Muslims. Probably Muslim MS-13.
It's all them.
Yeah, probably Muslim MS-13 ISIS resistance. Yeah.
I heard they joined together, Bob. It's MS-13 ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
mm-hmm.
it's like.
And they're going to come. They're going to come across the dry parts of the Rio Grande.
I think Q said it. Wasn't it Q that said that? Yeah, Q.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
And
you hear his ass talking about the deep state again? Like, I swear, you just want to slap him with a piece.
Well, you know, the problem with that Q is he's anonymous. Anonymous.
Well, they're right. That's what they said. A 5th or 6th grade intellect. You know, most 5th or 5th.
And see, what most people don't realize is he's
haven't learned how to pronounce anonymous yet.
There are elements of this where, you know, it's like. You know, some people say dementia, degradation, diminution of faculties. He's never been any smarter.
His daddy paid for his diploma. Are you shitting me? All through his life, everything's been paid for his ass. You can hear it in his grandiose talk. He's glorious. He's best at everything. Are you shitting me? I didn't even hear the name of his school until he came along and said it. What is it? Somebody remind me what
Wharton,
his school is.
Wharton.
Wharton School of Finance. Finest school in the school. Never heard of it. I'm sorry. A lot of people probably went there. Probably a great school. But the school has been diminished by that loudmouth running around saying he's a graduate because it tells me, whew, you can pay off them professors easily.
And his
professors came out and said he was a dimwit.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
They graduated
with
honors.
Was he even in graduate school? I thought he just got an undergrad degree.
Not sure. No, I think.
Does he have an MBA?
I don't think he's got a more bigger asshole, as far as I know. Well, maybe he does.
And by the way, with
he's a boatload of honey shiny, whatever that
is. Shiny
honey, there we go.
I had to bring it up, Bob.
Okay, still waiting for the product review. Still waiting for some
program, get a heiny shiny. Okay.
Still waiting for somebody to take one for the team and test it out. But you know, I understand. I understand. You know, we're going to need a product report on the shiny hiny. But if you want to do it anonymously, you know, that's okay. You can write it, and I'll just read it. That way nobody will identify you by your voice. And as long as you don't use the word lodestar, you should be okay. With time running out, I'm going to introduce a new concept to the program, word porn, because something awesome happened this week. John... the folks in the Blue Dot community send you beer.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I mentioned it.
Bless them. I love my family.
Two Wednesdays back, we dissected a clip by a noted defender against lesbian softball, short-haired, big-bottomed lesbian softball playing women, Dave Daubenmeyer, in which he went through the dictionary looking for that word that's got the E, the R, the I, the two G's, and an N, and isn't ginger.
Not ginger. What do you
got? Hey, I'm a ginger. I take offense to that.
So I bemoan the fact...
Don't listen to him. He's a ginger.
I bemoan the fact that I do not
exactly.
That I do not possess an Oxford Dictionary of the English language. Well, lo and behold, and much to my surprise... I got a notification,
yes, sir.
And I ran down to the post office because it was an article too large for Box.
Ah, don't you love them?
And lo and behold, there it was. The holy grail of practitioners of the art of word knowing. The two-volume, tiny print, complete with magnifying glass set of the concise... Oxford Dictionary of the English language. Now, this thing's bigger than a pair of Manhattan phone books back when they still had phone books. Mm. And, wow. And so it has a special and cherished place inside the studio here. And from time to time, we will be going into word porn and consulting the OED. As the
I look forward to a learning experience, Bob.
Well, we got we got a major taste of word porn last week with Michael Eric Dyson.
Oh, Lugubrious Leech.
Yeah, no fight. Yeah. Orange Apparition. What do you call it? It was like somebody doppelganger. It was just like, now word porn. I'm still reverberating off of that one.
Oh, and by the way, we mentioned people setting fire to Bama jerseys. I just noted that Sister Carol Baker posted that Nike's online sales jumped 31% after announcing their Kaepernick campaign.
And an amen goes right there. Amen.
That's great.
That's good.
Amen. Good.
Always good. Attracts the good.
Burn more shoes, dumbasses.
You know, them dumbasses, you know, they care so much about, you know, you don't like them Nike shoes, you could donate them. There's a whole lot of kids out there probably love them shoes.
How about it?
You know, I got a good suggestion. There was some people. It's dumbasses. Like, what about I got a real good suggestion.
You're so concerned about they need veterans to do.
Tracy.
I'm saying, if you're so concerned about the military and all that, then donate those shoes, those jerseys, or whatever to homeless vets.
Sure.
How about that?
Sure.
There you go.
You could do that.
Yeah,
that would
make
a statement.
But see, the problem is,
I'm asking those should do, Tracy, is I think they should basically try to brew the Nikes in a Keurig coffee maker.
There's a comedian here in San Diego, well, actually La Jolla, just north of here, appearing this week, who went on TV the other day and said, he's a former Marine, as I recall, and he pointed out the utter stupidity and wastefulness of them burning the damn sneakers. He said, instead of burning them, bring them here intact, and I'll donate them to, I think he runs a veterans organization, support organization. So if anybody's near San Diego and has something to donate in the way of a good non-burned Nikes, carry it on up to the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Or any other product that you're so inclined that you don't want to wear no more. Don't want to wear that no more because you don't want to support that. Well, give it to somebody else because they damn sure need it.
Yeah, but see, in the final analysis, here's the problem. The White Wingers have an affinity for fire. Oddly enough, so too did the Nazis.
Yeah. I've seen this used before.
But the fact of the matter is, they used to burn crosses. Now they're burning Nikes. Because the reason they're burning Nikes are exactly one-to-one identical.
That's right, Bob. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. Because it is. It's, there's no other reason for people to get so upset other than this dick in our house made this into a racial issue. It is a racial issue in the sense that that's what Kaepernick is trying to bring notice to. But like I love to point to Beto O'Rourke's answer on that now. What more patriotic way to protest something than that? I don't know what it is.
Hear. And, his answer to that will probably go down in history.
I'm just so proud of that guy, Bob. I'm serious. If I was gay, I'd marry him.
Well, at least propose.
I'd chase him. I love this guy. I really do. I just love what he's doing. And he stands, I believe, for what America needs to become. That kind of I hate to even, I call him a politician, but that, you know, that kind of person and that kind of honor, that kind of dedication, he's not going to fill you up full of bullshit. He's going to give you the straight answer, and he's going to work for all of us. That's all we can all ask for. Don't shit on us.
Hear, hear. And, you know, how exciting to have a good progressive candidate running in an allegedly red state who has a chance now.
Yeah, allegedly red. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I appreciate that, buddy. We're trying hard to turn it blue.
Well, I know.
But look at what's happening all through. What's that guy up in Massachusetts that just lost his place to that young Presley girl?
Yeah, Mike Capuano. And you know, he was gracious in defeat, and he was, you know, he wasn't some sort of you know, yellow dog, blue dog, you know, halfway to a right winger. But the fact of the matter is, that district is a minority majority district. And districts deserve to be represented by people who have lived their lives.
Yes, yes.
And so Mike Capuano was a great congressman. He's got a record to be proud of.
Yeah.
He was 20 years in the House. I have tremendous respect for him because, among other things, he was a signatory, a co-sponsor of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act, that we've worked so hard on.
And you're right. The way he responded to that defeat was the way we all should look at that.
And so, you know, I'm...
But there's a movement going on, baby. There's people that want, people to stand up and say something. We can't have a Congress that is so silent at a time when our nation is faced like this. The silence is deafening.
It is a time to stand and be counted.
It is.
And like Obama said today, you got to get in it. You got to participate.
That's
you
right.
got to show up. And you know
That's
what?
It,
show,
baby.
And you know what? Showing up. I'll go ahead and just piss people off. Showing up does not include going to the polls and saying, my conscience is too precious for me to be able to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, well, you know, shove that lesser of two evils up your butt.
Yeah, how's that working out?
What is that? Bill Maher said, if the fish is not available, you have order the chicken. Whatever the hell. That's what I hate, because like I always say, the right comes up with one candidate. We got a whole handful of them. Pick which one you want over here. You know, we need to get behind a solid, if you have problems with the Democratic Party, jump in it and change it. You know, make your voice
and look,
make your ideas.
We saw that happen with the action on the superdelegates. It can happen.
It can happen. It can happen. It has to be the passion of the people that want it. And we need to spread the passion around. And Bob, you're doing a great job of that, buddy, because that's what this show is. That's what all these shows are, is spreading that desire for you to have passion, for those people listening, to get the passion in them, whatever it is that stirs your soul, baby. Just get that ember lit, because we're all depending on you to do that.
Well, hear. And I have happy news. We knocked it down to 105. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian, for jumping in. We got $105 to go to finish the week. So thank you very kindly to Brian, and hopefully maybe on the overnight podcast crowd will finish off the last 100. Also, I have to send out big thanks to Peg in the Sandbox, because this would have been a much, much worse fundraising goal than what we had were it not for Peg. Thank you, Peg, very, very kindly. And by the way, yeah, I misspoke. James in Illinois points out, yellow dog is not a slur. I'd vote for a yellow dog before I'd vote for a Republican. Count me in. Yeah, that's me.
Yes, sir.
It's the so-called blue dogs that were...
It's the blue dog Democrats.
That were the
yellow
problem.
Dogs. And yellow dogs bite, buddy.
Yep. I'd vote for an old yellow dog. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, Tracy,
well,
enjoy...
I would encourage any of my blue dot family out there, if you can be so inclined to go to Bob's Patreon page or kick a little PayPal up, I would highly encourage that. And because we appreciate Bob's voice.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you so very kindly. I do appreciate that. And and thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thank you to Sparky for moderating the group this evening. Thanks to everybody who jumped in. I hope we managed to hear from everybody, even if it was just a little bit.
Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this ongoing conversation. Thank you to everybody who keeps the ongoing conversation going. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky and Steve, in the chat room this week. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.